Good evening, everybody. I'd like to call to order the Committee of the Whole meeting of Tuesday, April 9th, 2019, at 7 p.m.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlouwski.
Here.
Nielsen.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
All of council present, along with Katie Iconis, our fiscal officer, William Mason, our law solicitor. Any persons having business before council? Anybody want to have anything they want to say? You can also, of course, between each agenda item, if you have anything you want to add to our conversation, it'd be great. Okay, how about council comments? Anybody want to add anything before the meeting?
Go ahead,
Gloria.
I have from the recreation information. Most of it is in the journal, but there was one thing on here. It was National Day of Prayer.
Yes.
Can you give me any more information? Because all I have is the date. Is it going to, which church is it at?
It's not at a church. It's where we've been having it, which is the Event Center.
Okay, at the Event Center.
I think she had that on the journal, the Event Center.
No, it was published before you had your meeting.
Right, right, so before she had a meeting.
It'll be in the banquet room.
But it will be in the banquet room, the big room.
Okay, and what time does?
11, I think it's 11.
Usually 11 o'clock, yes.
Okay.
Maybe we should put out on our phone the code. That might not be a bad idea.
Food? Will there be food?
The same, yeah.
It's
Carol
exactly the same.
The same.
Same thing.
Refreshments.
And from what I understand, Pastor Bob will be there, the pastor from Dunham Road Church, Eric, the pastor from the Hungarian Church, and I did invite Father Lou from St. Martin of Tours. So we're hoping they all show up. I know Eric was at the meeting. Pastor Bob told Carol that he was going to be there.
Okay.
So it should be the same as last year.
Okay, because it wasn't in the journal, so if it's going to be late, you know, by the time the journal comes out again, it'll only be a few days
right
before this.
I think what we'll do is I'll talk to Sam.
Put it on
maybe
the sign.
Because we'd like to increase the turnout. Last year was probably, I think we've been doing it 9 years, 10 years. I went to five or six of them. And last year, and I think Carol writes down the numbers, was the lowest turnout we had last year. So we want to increase that turnout. I know a lot of you that have been in the audience have been there, and it's really a nice event, the National Day of Prayer. There's nothing negative about it at all, because we're praying for our country and all of us, and it's just really a nice event that was started. And I think maybe, Stan, we could talk about maybe put out a code, just that, you know, because we can use that for informational reasons too, correct? We'd be able to just kind of remind everybody that it's coming up. So that would be great. We'll have it on the website, of course, and stuff too, because it is a nice event. And this year the theme is that the National Day of Prayer, they come up with a theme. It's love one another. So that is the theme. You can go to their website, National Day of Prayer. They have videos. Those videos are the ones that are usually played at the National Day of Prayer. Carol takes them right from that website, and then and Katie and plays them on there. And that's the theme they've come up with. I guess we can all use some of that. I know I can. So it's really just a nice event that our village, and a lot of community. I was kind of surprised. I met with the mayors on Friday, eight different mayors from the surrounding areas, and I said, who does National Day of Prayer? Out of the eight, there was only two that didn't. So it's pretty common among the other communities. It was nice to hear, because I told them they're welcome to come to ours if they don't have one. And it can be for anybody. It doesn't have to be for resident. Anybody that wants to come, we have a nice big room there at our event center. The more people, the better. Bedford's Choir will be there too. Carol said that they did respond to her. So, and they do a great job, as everybody knows. The choir does a great job. So, anybody else?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention Brian and I were at the grand opening, the unveiling of the MGM and their infamous lion. that they have. Brand-new statue outside, it was a very nice event. A little chilly, didn't realize it was gonna be outside, so I didn't have my coat, but... they had some nice appetizers also, and like a little luncheon that they put on, a nice presentation. So I would recommend the food anytime, and that's as a vegetarian on my limited amount that I had there. The only thing about it was there was a lot of talk about Northfield, Summit County, things like that, and it was just a little disappointing that it wasn't more of a regional celebration for our area, you know, for everybody. I do understand Northfield gets the greatest complete impact of them being there, but it sounded to me, Brian, like they have all intentions. I mean, of course, on their opening day, they said, you know, they were looking forward to being there a long time, and it's their first one in Ohio, and they're looking to possibly branch out.
Right.
Right. I thought what was, I know Brian shared with me that you guys had a chance to talk to Chris Kelly, the CEO, which that's a good thing, because those are the relationships we're trying to establish there, so I was glad to hear that. Supposedly they're going to set up a meeting with the office here after today, so I'm looking forward to that, but I know you guys had conversations too to get the ball rolling, so. I know Brian was sharing that with me, and the first thing I said to Brian, did you ask him for some money? Because that's really what our goal is. We want to see it do well because it helps everybody here, but at the same time, none of us feel it's fair that Northfield gets all the revenue from that racetrack. That's definitely a concern, and that's definitely a concern we're going to have with our new state rep and stuff too, so just throwing out. But that's great. I'm glad you guys were there representing us. I know Angela went too.
Yes.
So that was good.
In speaking with the state reps, I have made mention too, because I've talked to Phil Robinson, but I've also talked to Juanita Brent, who's the state rep, and she would take care of the area with Warrensville Heights,
yes,
and the other cities around there that are impacted that are not receiving. So we do have two state reps that are interested in helping the neighboring communities, you know, so that the financial burden that we are getting with the amount of traffic on the streets and things like that could at least be alleviated to some point. So very positive with both of those state reps on that.
Right, and they have something that they can work with. It's not like we're just asking for a piece of the pie, not being deserving of that. We're definitely deserving of that, and that's what's important.
Yeah, but part of their parking lot, part of their racetrack is on our, it's in Walt Hills. I mean,
correct.
It's not, we're different than Warrensville. Part of it is, you know, it's in Walton Hills, so it's a big difference.
I know Fred's been, that's kind of been a sticking point for him, and I know him and Bill have had discussions, and Katie, and looking at some of the other revenue from the racetrack, so we're going to continue to do that. I've seen some interesting, there's a bill, looks like it's going to at least be presented to the state legislature about betting on the sports events. It's out there, there's two state reps that are going to push that bill, so who knows, maybe they would build something. I know, Fred, we've had a little discussion about if they did something on our property, which would be beneficial to us. So we'll see what happens. But, and with that said, I might as well say, haven't heard, you know, we had our meeting, was it a week and a half ago now? You know, that I had the meeting, myself and Tom Jordan, with the broker from Ford. We had to sign non-disclosure agreements. And so we're just waiting for that to go through the process. We've met with one of the potential buyers of the property, along with CBRE, Howard Littig, for that, who's the representative. And they had a signed non-disclosure agreement, so I wish I could tell you more, but they didn't tell us a real lot, except that it's going through the process. I was hoping they were meeting to tell us this is the purchaser, but we're getting closer, though. So when they have you start, you know, according to Tom, they have you start signing non-disclosure agreements and things that you can't talk about. They're in a very serious part of the process, because now they're spending money, tens of thousands of dollars, to get to where they're at to bid on this property. So they've narrowed it down to three potential buyers. We've met one of them. So that's where that's at. So Any other comments from council? Well, let's, we got a big agenda here. Fred, did you want to take the floor?
First of all, with the insurance, I talked with Katie. There's not a lot to go over with the insurance. In November, we're going to have Pat Kelly from Love Insurance in, and we'll go over the insurance. Really, there's no changes from the last time we talked at all. There's really nothing that's changed at all. Going right to safety, we wanted to talk with Stan about our officers taking classes to be able to stop the semis and probably weigh them. I don't know if we're going to be able to weigh them or not. I don't, as far as scales or... Have you talked to the Highway Patrol at all? Or?
Stan, you want to come up to the mic? Maybe we can have you.
Council Mayor, there's a class coming June 3rd to the 7th down at Opata, down in London. It's called Commercial Motor Vehicle Weight Enforcement. So I'm trying to get have an officer go down there for that. There's also another one, commercial vehicle, motor vehicle inspections, too. Unfortunately, we have officers on vacation, and there's other couple officers in school. So, but definitely the June 3rd through the 7th. I have not contacted Highway Patrol yet. I was going to wait till summer comes around. And John Pollan showed an interest in it, so he's available to go down there that week. So after he gets back, he can... we'll talk to him and see what we can and cannot do, and then we'll contact the Highway Patrol.
Okay. Well, you know, there's at least we're moving in the right direction, mm-hmm. You know, see if we can't alleviate some of this truck traffic that we have. I mean, it's, well, you're seeing it every
day. Yeah, we, last couple days, they've been citing a couple trucks on Dunham Road trying to sneak through to Tahoe Parkway. This morning when I was checking the traffic camera, we had an 18-wheeler that picked up with speed at 50 or 51 on Alexander. So
that's not good.
They're starting to roll through
here pretty good. Well, they think it's, you know, it's a free shot.
It's a cut through. So
bad thing about it is once we get this repaved over here, it's going to be, I think it's going to be worse, you know. So of course we might be able to just set up a portable camera. I mean, have an officer sit with a camera and catch them that way.
What do you mean?
Speed?
Camera for speeding.
Speed camera.
We have radar and LIDAR enforcement. I mean, we have the capability of doing that, but.
Well, I mean, anything to slow them down. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah, they. I spoke to all the officers and asked so they know that. You know, special attention on Alexander Road, you know,
right,
day and night, because there's know a lot
Denny,
of traffic coming through.
Denny likes to walk on Alexander, and with those trucks rolling through, it's a little different, isn't it, Denny?
I'm sorry?
I said with the trucks rolling up and down through there when you're walking on Alexander, it makes it a little more dangerous.
Well, there's a lot of width, though, that I can get over plenty far.
Plenty enough
to avoid those trucks, yeah. Plus, they see me. Everybody sees me because of my vest.
Well, and you're larger, too, so.
Huh? Well, I prefer to say it's my vest, Fred.
So. Well, what, Fred, may I?
Sure.
Through the mayor, of course.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about, has there been any thought given to, not just for the speed, but pulling over randomly and checking logs, driver's records, things like that?
That's what that commercial motor vehicle inspection class is.
That's what it's all about, what you can do and all that. What about, and I had some conversation with some people on Alexander, and Councilwoman Allen is very familiar with the subject too, of the use of Jake brakes on Alexander Road, especially in a residential area. And I know that some truckers, Alexander Road for the most part, other than right down here, is a level road. But some truckers run with the Jake brakes on all the time, and when their foot comes off the gas, the brake comes on to help them slow down, and that's what they're hearing.
Right, and as I said in the email to you, it wasn't an issue so much until the traffic camera. I think a lot of those truckers know.
Yeah, and they're slow. So, they're letting. They got Jake brake automatically on, and
you know,
they release.
I see them with the Jake brakes going, and the same way coming from the west.
Yeah. Any way we can have some sort of ordinance to disallow?
Need to, Bill, would you be able to do that? Research it.
To regulate the traffic, so if you, we're going to need to have like a traffic pro or a traffic consultant come in and tell you these things are needed. It's not that big of a deal, but that has to be done in order, so if we're challenged on them, that we can have a
traffic
basis.
Survey.
Yeah, so we have a basis for putting those things into effect.
Mm-hmm. You know, I could understand, well, you just mentioned Dunham Road, and apparently big trucks cannot go down Dunham
Correct,
Road or something.
Because of the two bridges.
But there are, I imagine some trucks can that do have Jake brakes on them, so I would not want to limit the use of a brake going down the Dunham Hill. Of course, that's for the experts to determine, I guess. I used to have a diesel with a Jake brake on it, so I know a little bit about it. But there's no reason to be using it on Alexander Road. I'm sorry. You know, they're just not, you know. So if, you know, and apparently it's becoming an issue for the residents. That's a residential area, you know.
Can hear it in the middle of winter, even with all the windows closed, and in the summer,
sure.
It just, you know, it really screams and echoes through.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
For the majority of us, we're closer to the road, you know, so we're used to road traffic, but that noise.
And I'm there right there on, you know, North Meadow Park. I mean, they're using them on those hills.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know, they're coming over those hills and using them now. So that's where we're affected by them. But it's not just, I mean, it's the whole area. It's they're so loud that, I can imagine, you know, right there they see that or they know where that traffic camera is.
Oh,
at. I mean, that's a flat stretch of road. They shouldn't need to use them if they're not.
I can sit on my front porch and visibly watch the cars coming down the road, and I can tell when they're putting their brakes on. Coming up to the camera. You can see them visibly slow down.
Maybe just park an extra vehicle up there by the park and surprise them, you know.
Oh, yeah. You would get it because, after that, they're going.
Yeah. They speed right back up. Well, we don't want to.
I know, Stan, and I know you and Fred have been talking about Alexander Road, and I know this week you mentioned to me that you've educated the officers that, and Mike, you guys talked to, like you said in this meeting, be more aware of what's
Correct.
Going on with the trucks. I mean, not that they don't, but just kind of, it's like anything, I'm sure as an officer, you tune yourself to certain things and stuff, so that's a good thing, and I know you have, they have increased some of the crackdown on some of the trucks, so I think we're moving in the right direction, and then we can see if Bill will look into it to see if we need to do a traffic study, and then we can bring it to council and see if we want to move forward a traffic study, and then maybe will that give us something more to enforce, if that would help us enforce, especially after they get their training, and
right.
That's probably going to help too, when the officers, they might come to us after that training and say, hey, we need that to support us too. That I'm sure that's going to help, so we understand what the village needs to do to support them, to cover whatever they're doing. So, okay.
Well, and Fred, I think the class on the truck rates is really going to help with not tearing our roads up so much, right? I mean, obviously, a heavier truck is.
Speaking
going to,
be- to Joe, our engineer, he said that with it being a county road, that we cannot restrict. Trucks on Alexander.
Right, that's been the issue.
Yeah,
that's
been the issue for years.
Yeah.
But do we have the ability to restrict the weight limit?
No.
Not
according to Joe, yeah.
Right.
Any truck, according to Joe, that can ride on the highway can ride on Alexander Road. But my opinion is if you're a big enough thorn in their side that they know they're going to Mr. Gervasi is going to pull him over. They're going to find another route to 77 from 271.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought too, that, you know, if we you're talking about the signs we used to have, weight limits, you know, they used to have them.
There was a 5-ton weight limit.
And we had to take them all down. But if we had the ability to check trucks for their legal weight.
That's why we're sending them to school.
That's why we're sending them to school. And if we could do that, then we could put signs up saying,
I'm sorry.
Weight limits enforced. Doesn't mean that the 5-ton weight limit's enforced. It could just say weight limits enforced. Mm-hmm. In other words, the weight limit of the truck is in, you know, being enforced.
Yeah.
And that may be enough to deter them, you know. So are weight limits strictly enforced?
Right. There's a certain amount of noise with that even, too, because you can hear a difference between a cement truck that's full compared to one that's empty.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I watched one. They paved that driveway in North Meadow Park here this last weekend, Saturday, and the trucks were going up pretty normal. And then I was watching one, and he must have been overloaded because he was. I didn't think he was going to get up the hill. I didn't think he was going to make it. That's how he was crawling. And he kept shifting and shifting. I said, man, I don't know. So, but he managed to get it up to the top of the hill.
Sure.
But, all right. Well, I don't think we can beat a dead horse there. We're moving on to the main reason they're here tonight is we want to discuss new vehicles, and I guess Mike has the numbers for the
Sergeant BC has all the numbers.
Sergeant, so if you want to give us the lowdown, it's pretty much what we'd gone over and talked about before, the leasing of vehicles opposed to buying a vehicle, and if we lease two, is it cheaper? Is that? Go ahead, Mike, and give us the numbers.
Mayor?
Yes.
Before we move on, I just wanted to touch base on the truck. So I did look at that.
Right.
In order for us to be able to move and put any kind of restrictions on the flow of that traffic, the bottom line, you have to have a consultant. So it's not maybe, it's what you have to do. And that would, and what you're looking for is a compelling state interest, a compelling interest by the village to be regulating it. So if we brought in a traffic consultant to look at it, maybe there is something they can tell us. I can look at different consultants that might do it, but I've worked with TrafPro locally here, and they're pretty good. But anyway, you can bring one in, get a couple numbers, and then you can make a decision if you want to move forward on it.
Mm-hmm. Would there be something like, you say you work with them, I'm just wondering if, as far as, like, the hill on Alexander.
Thank you.
Maybe the weight tearing up that road more, even though it's a county road. I mean, trucks, because you know and I know it's ruining those roads. I mean, if you see how many trucks are really running on that road now, we paved this road, and we have to borrow the money. And in 10 years, we have to repave it again. We're not going to have the first loan paid off.
Mm-hmm. Would they be able to answer that too?
Yeah, exactly. Those are the kind of things that would come up with the reasons why you might want to do something.
Yeah, that's a good way.
We could even probably bring them to a COW meeting.
I'm sure.
Okay, well, I don't look into that, Bill. Everybody in favor of that? Moving forward, at least talking to the consultant about whether or not we would need a traffic study or whatever, just to see. I mean, he might tell us we can't control that traffic at all, then we wouldn't move forward. But if he says, yes, we could probably control it somewhat, the trucks, but you have to get I guess we need to start there.
Yeah, that's a
start there, and then if you help us in what direction we need to go. Everybody's, okay, so why don't we do that?
Okay.
And I have, as far as I'm concerned, if you're comfortable, everybody okay, use traffic. Was a traffic pro?
I'll talk to a couple of them, and I'll tell you what their estimates would be for it, and then we can
right.
get a better
okay.
decision, maybe.
Yes, that'd be great.
Very good.
Okay.
You ready, Mike? Go ahead, Karen. You want to come up?
Just a question. With Ohio, we're not going to have a front license plate anymore. How is that going to affect our traffic cameras? Does it at all, or they only get the back?
You want to answer that, Stan?
I took both mine off.
Did you?
How can we challenge
That's what they were talking about.
That's what I mean.
They would.
Portable weight scales.
Okay, so that's probably 3 minutes.
What was that you were?
Not if the highway patrol's involved. I mean, if the highway.
Can they mandate this road then?
Well, that's what we're going to have to find out.
We're just in the process now.
Okay.
A portable scale?
Go ahead, Stan, did you want to answer, Chief?
For the traffic enforcement camera, it's rear plate only, so that won't affect us at all.
Okay, and then if we're going to do that other one, when's that we're going to go in there?
They're working on it right now, in fact.
Okay, so.
If you've got a real lot, I'm going to have you come up to the mic, Karen. Because it has to be on the recording, so it's not fair for.
Yeah. I'll finish.
Okay, but I will answer. They actually, we're doing it. They're installing the post and everything in-house. The service department is doing it with his service crew.
And the base is already up.
Yeah, they put the base in today, actually, or part of it. Mm-hmm. And so they're working on it. Hopefully you've been in contact with Rob, because you guys are part of it. Hopefully the end of the week, from what Rob has told me,
And will it get both sides or just?
Just westbound only, both lanes westbound.
Okay.
And you know what? I found out the answer to that, and I Stan, I think you shared that with me. And the reason was, because somebody asked, I think, at one of the meetings, why aren't we getting it both ways on that one? I think you answered, because they would already almost be out of Walton Hills,
right.
Yes, and there's some, there's problems with that. In other words, our police would be going into Oakwood Village,
the
camera would be going into Oakwood Village. So it's only going one way. I think somebody came up at one of our COW meetings and asked us that, so.
And the camera company's okay with that? I mean, it's...
That was their... That was one of their spots.
Recommendations that just have west only as cars coming into the village, not exiting.
And they won't just put them where we want them, because that's their investment.
I know.
Right?
I wasn't here when you dealt with them, so I'll catch up.
Yeah. No. I know for it, because they're $90,000. And if anybody has any question, I know Stan...
Where is it?
Is
where I know what it's on Alexander, but where exactly is the camera?
It's right in the medium. It's just west of our sign, Welcome to Walton Hills. They removed one of the trees.
Okay. Oh yeah, I saw them today. Is that what they were doing?
I saw them today too. I happen to have an appointment out here, and I saw Brian
today,
in the hole. Wasn't that you?
No.
Okay. I got 1 week.
Lori, do you have something?
The end of this week
before Mike gets up again. We're talking about insurance. I know we're going to talk about cell towers later, but to check, maybe you could check with the gentleman that's going to come and talk to us, if he knows anything about the small cell towers, because as I read the information about them, there's insurance involved in these things. So maybe if he has, some insight on them. And if he has a picture of it, I'd like to see a picture of what one of these things look like, because it's like this phantom thing I'm reading.
You know what?
About.
I had pictures today,
and I
forgot them.
Oh, okay.
And so I could just kick myself, because I was going crazy at work today, and I had printed some pictures out, because I am a very visual person, and I'm reading these documents, and I'm trying to wrap my head around what's this going to look like. Oh, some of them out in California, they have them in the coconut trees, and it's like...
they can be quite varied.
Varied place, and you can put them on utility poles, like already previously installed utility poles. But then I finally got a picture of just... the cell tower, and that's what I was looking for.
And then you're reading it, if you want to change it from metal to wood and from wood to metal.
I know, it's like,
it's
quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
Color, paint it this color.
I like it in the palm tree, though.
Well, let's
that's another more thing.
Because we are going to talk about the cell tower.
I don't want to talk about cell.
Okay, go ahead, Gloria.
No, safety. Okay.
Yeah.
I today was in the senior citizen,
Academy.
Academy, yes. And so several people here in the audience, and we're repeaters. That's how good it is. And I just want to thank you, and it's a wonderful thing that you do. And I wish there were more people that were, going there. Can some people come? Like, if they just want to come in, they'll miss the first, few of them. that, you know, maybe we can have one in the evening sometime, maybe. But, I mean, it gives a whole different perspective of police officers, you know. You deserve the respect, and maybe you might get some after, you know, because I know what you go through, you know. But I appreciate what you're doing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank you.
We have some positive things. Go ahead. Mike, did Fred, you wanted Mike? Is Mike up to?
That way, you're back up, Mike. But this is, we're going to go over some of the costs of the vehicles, and Mike has all the numbers and the rundown, and I think everybody has a copy, so.
As of this year, Ford has not yet started building the 2020 utilities. Last year was the last design. They reconfigured everything. This goes as far as the motor. It changed from gas and turbo to the hybrid and the traditional gas one also. I spoke with the chief earlier. Vehicles that were ordered March of this year would not be built until June, mid-June. For simple fact, the plant isn't even up and running yet. So, and that's just an estimate. So if you do order a vehicle in June, they start building, you may not see it till August, maybe September. That's notwithstanding any labor issues, product problems, manufacturing, things like that. And once they do start building, there's some people that did miss the boat last year because Ford kept bumping their cutoff date. It was September. End of September, then they moved up to 15th. Well, I found out it was September 1st. So if we did purchase last year, we would have missed the cutoff by at least 3 or 4 weeks. So there's some departments that are just bombarding for, there's already orders as of, I believe, January. They've got people that put in January 1. So the 2020 utilities, compared to last year, are about $7,000 more. And that's because of the redesign. And speaking with the chief, if you have the hybrid, they're touting it as more economically sound, saves on fuel. Well, the batteries weigh upwards of 1,000 pounds or better. The chief and I are in agreement. We don't want to be the guinea pigs in case something happens. Mm-hmm. Because every time you buy a first year something, what happens? It breaks.
Didn't we go through that with the turbos?
The turbos. Exactly.
Yeah, we went through that with...
The handout that the chief passed out on the first page is leasing options. And you'll see where the first block it says quantity 2, quantity 3. The gentleman from Gillingham Ford just put in there 2 and 3 just to give you a comparison. And on the second page, you'll see the breakdown of what the equipment is. On the leasing program, it's not a standard lease program like if you and I lease the vehicle. They know what we're doing. So they, you see where it says highlighted row B, that's a 4 year, and then 5 underneath, 2 down, that's 5 years. So the way it works, it's a 7.5% interest rate. Each vehicle total is $35,127. That's if you purchase the vehicle, that's with the equipment that we need. That's the drilling lights, the dark car feature, rear view sensing, the backup camera, key coded same, essential equipment, nothing over the top, nothing fancy. So upon delivery of said vehicles, a total price for 2 vehicles would be $70,799. That's the amount we would be financed. The payments would not be due until you receive the vehicle. So if we ordered the vehicle, say June 1st, and we don't receive the vehicle until November. That's when the first payment and subsequent payments would be. And then at the end of the year, or the end of the 4 year term, you just give them a dollar. Now the $19,663 that you see, that is not the first payment. That would be payments 2, 3, and 4. As I said, the vehicles have changed, so therefore the equipment will not fit the existing equipment. If we got the 2019s last year, we'd be able to take the existing equipment from two other vehicles, transfer them over. transferring that equipment over into the 2019s would have been about $6,000. Now, we're probably looking at about $12,000 per vehicle, and that's on the high end. I talked to our installer. The reason why he set it so high is because Ford has not released their vehicle yet. So the manufacturers, Wheeler, Lightbar, Havas, Satina, they have nothing to base the design, the dimensions off of. So everything that we have in the existing cars will not fit. That's traditional Ford. They change the designs every 4 to 6 years. And so we're out in the snow with that. There's only a couple things that we'll be able to transfer over. Those will be the in-car cameras, the MDT mounts, and maybe some minuscule side lights, things like that. As far as the overhead light bar, more than likely will not fit the roof design. Before I came, told the chief that Wheeland did obtain, I don't know how, they did obtain a prototype from Ford. So their technicians, engineers, are designing their equipment around that vehicle, that prototype. Now that doesn't mean that Ford's going to go, we're going to change them out. So they still have some fine tuning to do. So even if the vehicles are received, say September 16th, there's no guarantee that the equipment will be in by the 16th. So the additional for the, if we get opted to do the lease for 4 years, we would probably be looking at roughly an additional 24,000. So you're probably at about 43.6 the first year for the lease. Actually the 19,663 and the approximately 24,000 for the equipment. That's a ballpark estimate. It could be less, it could be more. But the installer said 12 is a good number, just because you don't know what the equipment would entail, the design, the cost, manufacturing, things like that. Questions so far?
Go ahead.
Go, whoever wants to go.
Just curious, how long does it take for them to put all the equipment in the car after we got it? And is our payment due after we receive a complete total vehicle?
When we take custody of the vehicle. So say if we take custody of the vehicle September 16th, that's when the first payment is due. Okay. And then the same thing with the second, third, and fourth year.
And how long would it take them to get all of our equipment into the vehicle and mount it? Do you know approximately? I mean, is that
traditionally, what the installer we did on the last, actually the first four cars that he did when he switched to them several years ago, he did four cars in 9 business days.
Oh, okay. I was just afraid you were going to say it's going to take another 6 weeks on top of that.
No, the only problem would be, like I said, the equipment. Right. It's not manufactured. So what we would do, the chief is pretty much on board with it, is if we got the go-ahead, I would say, hey, as soon as that stuff comes out of order, and he's on, he'll call us and say, hey, your equipment, when the last time we ordered the cars, the equipment was there before the cars. So he does pretty well. Car Public Safety, then in Columbus, he has anywhere from 100 to 200 guys 7 months a year down in Columbus. And they're constantly building cars for Columbus. There's some guys that are only back up like 3 months out. They're like oil workers. They come back for a month and a half, and then they go back down.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Brian.
Officer Gervasi. You have, okay, so two cars, $70,799 with 7.5% APR. At the end of, if we go for a 3 or 4 month lease, do you have it calculated out somewhere here? How much total we're going to pay for those leases?
Approximately, roughly about $3,500 extra at the term of the 4 year. So we're going to pay an additional $7,000 by leasing as opposed to buying out.
And how long if we were to buy that car out, how long historically have those cars lasted before we have to purchase new cars?
I can only go by what had transpired with the issues we had with the Tauruses. We had one vehicle out, sir, with the Bruins because of the turbo. People at Ford couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
And their retort was, don't let the car idle.
Yeah, that's what police cars do.
It's like towing an ambulance, not towing a...
Chief Dunn told him, and he was not happy with that. So we did put mileage on other vehicles, because some of the vehicles spent, I would say collectively between the three vehicles, better part collectively, a year out of service. If you took all those vehicles, that's a year of those vehicles. They would just be basically taking one out of service for one whole year. So those miles, we have traditionally two officers assigned to a vehicle, and they average about 60 to 70 miles per day, and that's based on average on a 12-hour shift. So I can only go up by what I know. Traditionally, the vehicles will last if all goes well and there's no issues. We're not getting the turbos, as I said. Probably 3 to 4 years on average. And at the end of the 4 years, depending on what the mileage is, we can keep the vehicle. We could purchase the vehicle for a year, keep it as a spare, replenish it to the service department, rec center, or we could just sell it outright. Because there's some departments, the old K-9 car, we recouped $4,700 off of it, and it was had 127,000 miles on it. We sold it with the old equipment, and instead of piecing apart, taking the lights off, we just sold it, and we commanded a very good price. And it still had mechanical issues. Without the mechanical issues, I think we could have probably recouped almost $5,300.
The Ohio plan has a lot to do with what when you get rid of cars. Is that true or not true? The Ohio plan for the insurance.
They used to claim 100,000. Yes.
Yeah, I've been asking about that. I asked Chief Thelman. I actually asked Chief Rhines too about that. According to them, and this may or may not be true currently or whatever, but my knowledge of it, I'm sure the mayor's, is that at 100,000 miles, they won't insure the vehicle anymore for pursuits. my issue with that is that we have 7 square miles, and what's the definition of a pursuit, and can we possibly change our policies to fit within their guidelines somehow to get those cars insured longer so they're around here longer, kept mechanically sound, of course, that we could, if we could get another year out of a car historically, that would save us a lot of money over time.
Right. Mr. Gurdon does a good job in maintaining vehicles.
Oh, absolutely.
Random oil changes, air filters, I mean, changing like everything from the mundane to the changing some exhaust on some of the older vehicles. Currently, we have a no-pursuit policy. When I mean no-pursuit, we cannot chase vehicles just for traffic infractions. It has to be a violent felony in order for us to pursue it.
Okay.
So I think we would be okay as far as that.
Okay. Is there any, movement with the insurance company that they know about that policy and could possibly change their
we would probably
insurance.
Have to look into that.
Okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't know for sure.
For sure, right? Yeah.
They could probably answer that, but...
We can start talking to Pat. Perhaps we could have a call with him, and since you know more specifics than I do about that, and let you
Pat, yeah, and I'm right? sure there yeah, might Hickey, be other things, yes. other reasons and that we I just don't know, that's... Okay, thank you.
With that said, I guess maybe the start is where are we at with the, I know we talked about one car, I see you have two. Where are we at, what cars are we replacing?
And where the 7418 and 7483. Those vehicles have in excess, I believe, 100,000.
That's what I thought.
74 what?
18 and 7483.
74 18 1 8, yeah,
and 74 83.
83,
yes.
And those are both in excess of
100,000. Those were the first utilities that we purchased. We talked about repurposing them for auxiliary use and the possibility of part-time vehicles. We put some money into them to replace them for the turbos, but the antiquated, I shouldn't say antiquated, but the exhaust, which is 4 or 5 years old,
people say, oh, 5 years old, that's not, or 2014, I'm sorry. They say, 5 years old, that's not old. You have a vehicle that's idling,
right,
starting, stopping, the combustion, and it's a turbo. Eventually the turbos will go, right, and those are not cheap by any stretch of the imagination.
It would have been nice if they were 2004, Mike. I was going to say we'd get pretty good.
We got our money's worth, sir.
Any idea if they're, what they're worth? I mean, if...
We've had a couple people low Ohio. We put them on the gun deals.
Right.
Yeah. If we sold them completely equipped, effectively, maybe five, I think we would be able to clear five.
500 for the old.
Right. Now you're...
Five each?
Yes. Now, we would remove the radios from them, the radar units, the MDT stands, naturally the flashlights. The equipment is suited to that. If we took the equipment, it's not more appealing. The equipment being the overhead lights, the light cage.
Everything. You can't switch that over anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
Correct.
So we're looking at about $10,000. So.
On average. Now, some people get in the bidding war. They might put it cheaper.
We'll go low end and just, you know. So
some people
can put out for 7 days.
So $10,000 towards, you know, that's what I'm.
And with at. The maintenance records we have, the vehicles are well maintained. There's no significant body damage other than little nick scratches, dents, dings here. But some of these smaller departments that don't have the funds, West Farmington, Lowell, things like that, but $5,000, that's perfect. My budget's $60,000. And when you hear somebody say their department budget's $60,000, and that's for free police officers that patrol 20 some square miles. And the chief expressed to the chief, he's like, I would really like to get one of those utilities. So he would probably be the first person that we would contact with.
Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
It seems like the trend is the SUVs.
Yes.
As a part. Is that, is there, what are the reasons for, educate us on the reasons for, as opposed to a sedan type?
More spacious. For not only for the officer, I'm not a giant among men, Chief and I share that same sentiment, but some of the larger guys, they also have what's called a tall man cage, where the seat is actually, there's a recess for the driver, the seat moves back slightly more, so it allows larger officers, 6 foot taller, over 200 pounds, a little bit more leg room so they're not squeezed in there.
Uh-huh.
Some of the larger guys, patrolman there, he loves the Taurus. I don't know how he bumps his head, does not bump his head. I bang my head. But he loves it. Some guys like the smaller cars, but it allows us to carry more equipment. The last couple cars, we had stop sticks in there. We have a tray in the back, carries flares, medical equipment, carry a pepper ball launcher in the back. Medical bag, we shied away from the O2 years ago. Just numerous things that we carry back in there, and it's always every year more and more and more equipment. Traditionally with Crown Vic, with the large trunk space, it was great, but you had to really get in there, reach back, fall back in there.
I see.
So, and the car, the utility over the vehicles, one, the Tauruses are no longer being made anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The utilities, they allow for bigger prisoners. You have the recessed Satina cage. Or traditionally, years ago, I don't think anybody here has been in the back of a police car. But the seats between the cage and the seat are probably about that big. If you're a small guy like me, you're still going to get squashed in there. They have the seat moved back further so it allows for that person that's not so compliant to get into the cage, allows to maneuver back there. And in the event that a medical emergency did happen, that person could be pulled out, extracted.
Mm-hmm. What's I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things we used to receive was a report on the cars, the condition of them, the mileage, et cetera, things like that. Of the ones that were not to be replaced, but also the ones that were going to be replaced. Could we get updated reports on those vehicles?
The newer vehicles, the ones
I'm sorry?
The ones we got a couple years ago, you mean?
Well, this has been more than a couple years ago that I've not seen a report in the last, I want to say, 3, 4, 5 years.
I cannot attest to that, sir.
Huh?
I cannot attest to that, but I know we did have vehicles a couple years ago that we did purchase Three of them, 74, 14, 15, and 20, those vehicles have approximately 36 to 42,000 miles.
That's ones we purchased at the time, though.
I'm
talking about vehicles that are in use.
Right.
Conditions, right. That's what I want to see.
But what would you want to, as far as now, we're looking at 7418 and 7483. Would you want to see reports for those? Is that what
you... Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Plus, well, the ones that are not going to be replaced, too, so that we can start tracking them. To see them.
We do track the mileage. We do track the mileage.
Sure, you do that.
They are maintained. We have a board downstairs.
What kind of maintenance logs do you maintain?
George has.
I'm sorry?
George has it in his computer.
Okay, so it'd be easy to print up a...
Oh, yeah, yes. You can print it out. You have all
in fact, just to touch base on that, since we've hired George, we've done a lot more, correct me if... maintenance in-house.
Right. Yes.
We used to take a lot to Liberty 4. We're doing a lot more in-house. So to be honest with you, Denny, I mean, and you guys kind of where we're at, the condition of the vehicles, it's not so much they're real bad because we do a great job of taking care of them. It's like it's the mileage put on them.
Right.
And that's where it's at. And these vehicles, we can't have them down at all. I mean, you have to cycle police car. You know, like our service vehicles, some of those service vehicles are 20 years old, and they look fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, but they're still not mechanically fantastic. They break down. It's okay. We can go and thing. But whatever, if you want, you know, we can get the other vehicles, but for now, if you wanted 74 and 18, and 7483, I think that would be...
Sure.
Because those are the two we're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
about.
They don't have to be produced all at once. If we got the two being replaced, right. And then maybe...
We can get that from George.
In a month, we could get the other three cars reported to us.
Yeah, we can get that. That's not a problem. Yeah, that's not a problem.
What about... we don't do a lot of pursuits, do we?
No, we have a no-pursuit policy, sir.
I'm sorry?
We have a no-pursuit policy.
Okay.
And the only time we would have to pursue somebody would be for a violent felony. Armed
so then
robbery.
A car with 100,000 miles wouldn't really make any difference then, right?
Well, that would be a question for the insurance, but I think any officer in his right mind, if that person committed an armed robbery, I think that person would have something to answer to the chief of police for not doing his job. Safe to say. I think public safety would take
so
precedence.
So we do have pursuits then?
In the event of a violent felony. I think public safety would take precedence over whether or not the car has 110 or 120,000 miles.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a 7.5% interest rate.
Yes, sir.
What do you know what the interest rate is on just a regular straight loan?
I do not, sir.
All right. It seems to me that we could probably get an interest rate much lower. On the surface of this, it seems to me like buying them is going to be a better deal.
Correct.
Mr. Mayor, that I just did something with a car, and I got a much better interest rate. So when I saw that, I was a little surprised. So I'm sure if you buy them, you probably could get something better.
Essentially, leasing was a great program a few years ago. There used to be very competitive rates that were offered to municipalities on capital leases. These rates are extraordinarily high at 7.5%.
Yeah.
Years ago, they were as low as 2.5% to 3%.
Oh, wow.
So, and my recommendation, once we get to the budget, you'll see our first quarter update, you'll see where we are for the year. That we just purchase them outright, and then depending on how our cash flow is towards the end of the year, we can issue it as a debt issuance with our yearly note rollover so that they are paid for in full on delivery, and then we're issuing debt if need be on a yearly basis, paying 2 to 2.5% interest. So we're paying off our last vehicles this November. So that would be my recommendation.
Katie, with that said, what do we have in the vehicle fund from the court? You know what? If you want to do it in the budget, that's fine too.
Yeah, we can get.
I know we have some money there too for everybody to
If I may, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd just like to finish the quotation on the purchase on page two, if there's no
question. Yeah, go ahead. While we're, go ahead.
Any questions?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sergeant Gervasi, you talked about the vehicles being sold on GovDeals.
Yes.
Have you guys used in the past the state auction for the vehicles, for state vehicles down in Columbus?
That would be the chief's forte.
Okay. I'm just curious because I know the lottery, you know, any entity of the state that, yeah, if that would, I don't know if that would
I don't know if
get a better
just for state vehicles, state deal seized
or,
vehicles.
Yeah.
With GovDeals, we put a restriction on certain items. So that way, I mean, if we totally strip the car, no lights, there's some people that really like the Crown Vicks, you know, diehards. We have sold cars to people that like the Crown Vicks. But if we're selling something with emergency lights, we remove all our decals from it, and we put a restriction, government entities only.
Right. Well, I do know there was vehicles purchased there by individuals for prison vehicles, that the cage had to be taken out, you know, ahead of time, and the clamps, there was actually a pair of handcuffs that was left in the vehicle. but I didn't know if that was something that you guys had used before, or, you know, was a possibility, so.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Gloria.
Sergeant, what was the criteria that you used to pick this, why it's a Ford and not a Dodge, and the dealership, this Don Gilliam Ford?
We traditionally used Fords from day one. The problem is when officers move from vehicle to vehicle, in years past, probably before the chief and I started, you get in one vehicle, your radio was here, a switch was here, everything was not set up uniform. Mm-hmm. So if you've driven a Ford 40 plus hours a week, 6-7 years, now you get into a Dodge. Now you have to know where the switches are, and that could be catastrophic in an emergency situation. So all the vehicles are set up. If you get into 7418, 7483, 7420, 15, 16, they are all set up. Siren box, microphones, they're the same. Everything's in place. And we even have some guys that drive 83 when 83 went in for an oil change. They'll jump in 18, they're calling out the old number. We've got to the point where we had to put decals in the car to let the officer know that he's in a different car. So the reason why we went to Gilliam Ford, Lebanon, Ohio, Lebanon Ford has the state bid. Also in, before I forget, also in the price is the extended warranty. Last year we looked at Nick Mayer because they have excellent service records. Close, they'll have porters come out, pick the cars up, drop them off, so we don't have our own people driving here and there, point A, point B. They gave us a quote on the extended warranty for 31 and change. Well, on the price here, it is, if you look towards the bottom where it says subtotal for above on page two for utilities, the extended service protection plan is a 5-year, $100,000 with a $100 deductible. That is the premier for $1,790. So that's $1,400 difference with Nick Mayer. That covers every, it's basically another bumper to bumper. The reason why we chose Gilliam Ford, they gave us a better price. And they're only making a couple $100 over the state bid on it. Their thing is for service. Well, it's a new car. We're not obligated to go to them for service. We can go to Liberty Ford, we can go to Nick Mayer, if it's a warranty part. But if something breaks, you know, we have the car, just say we have it for 5-6 years, and it's out of warranty. Mr. Gurman is more than capable of fixing it. He's replaced exhausts on the older cars, and he's a handy guy to have. I'm glad we have him. So there's nothing that he can't fix that I know. I mean, there might be something he doesn't, but. But we decided to give Gilliam a shot. Nick Mayer, it's been 6 weeks, still hasn't responded to me. The gentleman from Lebanon Ford, our installer, caught a couple numerical issues. I think they're trying to make their money, not to talk bad about Lebanon Ford, but I think they're trying to make money elsewhere and stuff that was included. I believe, what was the number, sir? 2,800? They padded an extra $2,800 on the vehicle. and that's from a company that has the state bid. So, Mr. Bodie, George Bodie from Billy and Ford, within a week I had this. He had everything to me within a week. So, and their finance guy, I talked to him for about 30, 40 minutes, explained everything on the extended warranty, very thorough. I figure, why not? I think it would be worth it. Can't go wrong.
This price, Mayor?
Yeah,
this price of 30, what is it, per car, 30, 35, 127? That's whether we buy it or lease it?
Correct.
Okay.
If you go to page 2, I'll give you the breakdown.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Can I just, Mike, just to, with that said, did it matter whether you purchased one or two?
It did not. The price was still the same.
Okay.
The base price was $32.13. That's per vehicle. And that is the K8A. That's the standard 2024 all-wheel drive police interceptor. What we traditionally known as a Ford Explorer. The 3.36 V6 motor is standard gas. It is not a hybrid. Comes with a 10-speed automatic transmission. I'm used to just a standard drive, 3, 2, 1, I'm sure all of you are. But now with these new electronic transmissions, they get really tricky as shift points and things like that. So another reason why we took the extended warranty, because that little tiny gear, it's probably only working within a couple millimeters. Something goes bad, I think it would be covered at $1,700. Fair price to pay, because hourly rate alone is $70, $80 for a mechanic. And it's gonna
at
cost
least
a good chunk of change. The medium titanium metallic is the newest gray color. That's like the other vehicles that we have out in the lot. Cloth front and vinyl rear. The rear seats are going to be removed, be replaced with prisoner transport cage. The rear view camera center stack, that's all included. And they are all key alike. Each vehicle gets 4 extra keys. Going to the next block where it says tail lamp, police interceptor housing. Those are basically the tail lights are drilled by Ford. They do not include any fancy strobes or anything like that. For the simple fact, if we had our installer drill into there and for some reason it shorted the system out, Ford's like, we're not going to be warranted.
Yeah.
And if you ever had to replace the tail light housing, those are upwards about $300 to $400. Mm-hmm. So we got to have them just do it. We would put, they would put the lights in, seal it properly, it would be a proper amount of silicone. We've had no issues with this installer. It's a very quality installer. The dark car feature eliminates any type of courtesy lights coming on for officer safety, so you don't open the door. It's not like a traditional vehicle. Pre-wiring for the grill and LED lights. That's just basically running wiring harnesses to put any lights up in the grill. The spotlight lamp LED driver side speaks for itself. I spoke with Chief and George, Mr. German. The underbody deflector plates, he seems, because the vehicles are driven, anybody that's driven over back on 7120 Crick knows what I'm talking about. Just basically prevent any damage from hitting huge craters, especially with the winter changing, potholes, craters. You know, a large animal in the roadway for some reason, or hopefully nobody hits a large animal, but we don't want to have an oil pan rip off or train gear or anything like that. The rear door control is inoperable. Standard feature, panels are removed. So prisoner cannot gain any access. They can't have access to the child safety box. Key to light, as I said, that all includes, all the keys are keyed the same. There are no fobs. In the event we did have fobs, officer takes it home. Now what? Now somebody's gotta go get that fob. So we use the existing keys for those. First and second row carpet, just an option. Chief and I spoke. We did the rubber floor mats. Problem is, you got the water, the slop, gets muddy, dusty, dirty. We put the carpet in there, it's better insulation, and it also, with the fitted floor mats, wears a lot nicer, increases the potential resale value of it. And the reverse sensing, good option, it beeps when you back up. These all come with standard backup cameras. The ones we have currently do not have that reversing option that beeps to let you know cross pattern, things like that. We thought that would be a good option to have. We actually had accidents, how long ago was that, sir? About 6 months ago, officer called out of town, went to go grab something to eat. As he was backing into the parking space, car shot in right behind him, the officer struck the car. Well, fortunately, the other officer that was there, she had her vehicle running on her camera, we played it back, we found that the driver was at fault, not the officer. If the officer would have had that, we may have stepped on the brakes a little bit quicker and avoid that accident. But the officer, it was all taken care of on his end. So, and then we have the extended warranty for the 1790 and actually titling for 15, which gives you a total of $70,254 for two vehicles as quoted. And that's the buy. Questions?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Sergeant, do you know, because we got the breakdown for two and three vehicles, do you have any projected time when a third vehicle is going to be needed yet, or?
I would say not probably for the other go-around. There's two vehicles still, other than 7418 and 83, those are 2014s. 7417, which is the Taurus that we have in the market, that used to be the vehicle that the captain and chief utilized. We have since started putting our part-time officers in there. We assigned that vehicle because the chief and the captain drove that vehicle. But once we alleviated the captain's spot, we opted to put that vehicle back in the service. We have three officers driving that vehicle. It's hovering about 50, 60,000 miles as of yet, that and the canine vehicle. So that vehicle has 50,000-ish, and that's 2014. And the canine vehicles, that's about 75,000, and that's 2014. Projected time frame, I couldn't give that to you now.
Right, I understand that would be difficult. Number of miles every day, things like that.
Right. But some of the vehicles, you know, 100,000 miles. You think one vehicle, let's just pick 7418, 110,000 miles. That's a lot of miles to drive through the village in 5 years. You said we're approximately seven square, sir?
Mm-hmm. About, yeah. Yep. Right.
So if an officer puts an average of 60 miles on per day.
Yeah, it's a lot of driving.
That's a lot of driving. A lot of coverage. So between the two vehicles, we have about 220,000 miles covered in this town in 5 years.
Sergeant?
Yes, ma'am.
On the first paragraph, it has keys, four keys.
Yes, ma'am.
And then down on the second block, third one up, is keys alike. What's the difference between, like, I know they're key that they could operate.
They would just give us four keys, four traditional keys. Like this key right here that I have would be the same key that I could use on
any one of the...
Yes, on the 2014, my car, any car in the lot, and the new cars. Because every department has a specific code that they use. There's some in the canine group. There's five other departments. They have different year vehicles. Same key.
Okay. Thank you.
It makes great for when the handler locks his keys in his car.
Or the dog takes them.
Different story. So, but they do give us four keys, and then they charge us accordingly.
Now, Mike, just to kind of, unless anybody has some questions, just to kind of sum it up, I guess what we've got to accomplish here, or at least if we do move forward, whether we would move forward with purchase or lease. Mm-hmm. And Mike and Stan, what would be the deadline for getting the vehicles this year? There is a deadline, correct?
There is a deadline. It's just the ordering. If we put our name in the book.
What you said earlier?
Right. It would just be where you fall in that list. And actually, if you've got a big city like, I wouldn't want to say Cleveland, but say a bigger city, they're ordering 100 cars. Two cars, we're in there, sort of, kind of, somewhere. You know, it's not like, hey, Walt Hills wants two cars. We're not going to move to the top of a department that's putting 50, 100, 200 cars. For clarification, this $7,254 for the price of the vehicles as quoted. An additional $12,000 per vehicle for the approximate for the equipment. So that would bump the total up to $94,254. That's for purchasing the new equipment for the vehicle. That was an estimate that I was given. Not in stone estimate, but a rough estimate. And it could be more, it could be less. I didn't want to come in and undershoot it. He didn't want to come and say, don't go crazy, but don't go low. He says, just give yourself enough leeway. Because, like I said, we will not be able to use any of the lights, cage, push bumpers, anything like that in the new vehicles.
One more question. You said 4 to 6 years at Ford changes. Is that kind of the same in the industry for the other ones, like Dodge and that?
I can't speak for the other part. I mean, it's tradition. The 2013s, 2011s, 12s, 13s was that year. And then they changed to 2014. Some minor changes, the seats got a little bit wider. Consoles that kind of fit in there. Some of the cages had to be retooled. They had an adapter on some of the cages to make fit inside. Then they had to put certain mounts in for the long gun mounts that were vertical in there. So it's just little minor tweaks, but when they do the big redesigns, like if you look at our, what we got, the 2017 time version? The 2017's totally different than the 2014. Outside they look the same, inside the dimensions, the knobs, placements, things like that, the electronics, totally redesigned. Technology doubles every 18 in the months. So the stuff that, if you bought that computer today, 18 months from now it's an antiquated computer pretty much. Same thing falls in that. I mean, Ford's spending millions of dollars a day on R&D. That doesn't mean they know what they're doing, but they do change. they do change some.
Thank you.
So. We've had pretty good luck with the Fords, except for the turbos.
Correct.
We ran into that, and we replaced two cars that first year they came out, but that was just a bad, even though domestic cars, you know, not the police interceptors that had the turbos had problems too.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we need to have, if you want to continue to have discussion on it, you know, it doesn't have to be now. We can think about how we're going to move forward with it. We got the numbers now. You want to talk about it. I think we're pretty much, if we were to move ahead in favor of purchasing, is that...
It
seems to be the logical way to go.
I know we wanted Mike and the chief to give us both options because that's what's important, just, you know, to see if one option is better than the other.
Well, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
The 7.5% interest on the lease was so high, and when Katie mentioned that, you know, to roll it into the debt, if we needed to roll it into the debt, I mean, we don't know if we will, maybe mm-hmm. half of it or whatever is only about 2 or 3%. I mean, to me, that's the answer right there, you know.
That's basically a percentage rate with somebody with a 650 credit score. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. The leasing option was brought up years ago when
right.
there was some question as to funds. The percentage rate was a little bit lower. When I saw that, I raised an eyebrow.
Oh, I did too. I just didn't say anything until Brian brought it up. I thought, I know you can do Ford's, better.
My personal opinion, I think that's Ford's way of making up for the $300 total cost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's my opinion.
Fair assessment.
So probably was the last.
What I was asking Katie about was how much, you know, because we do have our report in front of us, how much is in our existing fund?
Yeah, so you know, a portion of each ticket funds the capital fund for a police vehicle. So we average about $20,000 a year into capital to fund a vehicle. We don't break it out so that it shows you, you know, this is what's in this pot. It's all part of our capital fund, but it's fair to say within the last 3 years we've accumulated about $60,000.
So that helps offset that.
Right. Cars.
Yeah, any questions from council or?
Mm-mm.
What if we said to you, no cars, or one car? I'm just being honest with you. Just because we're looking at everything, and I look just like to throw it out there, would we be making a, or are we, we're definitely at the point, and I rely on your expertise, you guys. I know, Mike, you get in the cars every day. The chief hears from the officers every day. And from what I understand, those vehicles are at that point.
That's correct. One of the vehicles, I believe, or both vehicles, the exhausts were replaced within the past 6 months. 3,000 per exhaust. So that's 6,000 right there for two vehicles. Shortly thereafter,
wow,
more expenditure. One vehicle we had in the past 6 months, almost $7,000,
right,
in maintenance. So my question to council would be, you may have a car that's paid off. If it's $100 here, $100 there, you know, I got a personal vehicle, it's got $180,000. If I got to put $100 in a month, that's great. If you're making payment $300-$400 a month on a car, and you're putting $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $2,000, $3,000, where do you cut your losses at? You're just throwing good money at bad product.
Right. And those two cars we might roll over into the service department or recreation, because they have a couple vehicles,
correct,
that we knew, and that's why George did put some money in those,
correct,
because that wasn't on the radar. Those are the two that might be sold. There's two other ones that are in worse shape that could be sold and keep those two vehicles. So there has been a thought process behind.
And notwithstanding, sir, those vehicles are not going to, if they go to the rec center, they're not going to be driven 70, 80, 90
right,
miles
right,
per day.
Right.
So, I mean,
and not driven hard.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. if we did use them for the rec service department, they're probably going to see maybe on average 100 miles a week. I can't attest to service department what they would use for,
right,
or things like that, but I would say 100 miles a week would be a conservative number as opposed to 100 miles per day.
Did you say that the cost of the exhaust system was $3,000?
Yes, sir.
The entire exhaust system, was that?
That was, I believe, from the catalytic converter on back. Is that, sir? Catalytic converter on back.
God.
From the manifold. And that was in-house. That was Mr. Gurman doing it himself.
Holy mackerel.
Stainless.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm definitely always for saving money, but conversely, if we have a canine unit vehicle that is already got 75,000 miles approximately on it, you're looking at only approximately another year of service out of that vehicle.
Right.
We're averaging 20 to 25,000 miles a year on our police cars, according to what Sergeant Gervasi is telling us. So I think that's something that we should consider also. I mean, this year it's costing us $7,000 more than it would have last year per vehicle. Just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to review the budget tonight.
Right.
So it will fall right in at a good time. Does anybody have any more questions, or Fred for
just
Mike or Stan?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, just looking at the three vehicles and replacing, let's say we replaced one with 75,000 miles, because you're talking, how many vehicles do we need to replace here in the village for the rec department? And
they're not in desperate need to
no.
replace that.
Okay, so they're not.
No,
not,
they're no. not really part. They become part of the equation if we get
okay.
two new police cars.
Okay.
That's the only reason they become.
The vehicles don't see the daily drive
right.
that we do.
Has the has
my point was, Fred, instead of just putting my gov deals, George will evaluate which cars to cycle out
right.
out of all the cars.
Yeah.
You know, and which ones.
Well, what I was looking at is the two vehicles. If you would, if you know, sell the two that we're talking about, you're looking around $10,000, and he has the prices here for three.
Right. That was the doing of.
Okay.
Just All right. Not car dealers like to upsell.
Well, it's, sometimes it's better to sell a vehicle at $75,000 and wait till it's at $110,000 or $120,000. And you.
Well, we have 7417 has about $5,000 on. That's the Taurus.
Yeah.
And that vehicle will be 5 years old in June, I believe.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Sergeant, I would assume that the canine unit has a little bit different outfitting on it so that the doors can be released for.
Yes. If we had to sell that vehicle, we could probably command the price for it. Naturally, we take the equipment out that we need. Mm-hmm. We would sell that vehicle. The mileage, if it went for another year or 2 years, I don't think it would change. If you won't see 20, I'm talking 75,000, and that's to and from residents, daily patrol, going to training, schools. That's not just village use. That's so that's where that mileage is.
Right. Normal. Well, yeah. Everyday mileage.
It's driven a lot differently. Cars stop and brake. Anybody ever driven with a dog in the back? You can't slam on the brakes because that's 80 pounds flying forward.
Yeah.
And it makes one hell of a mess when there's water and stuff all over the back. And you got to clean it up, especially with a wet dog.
How's everybody? Council? All good?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for the chief or Stan or Mike? Or? Well, very good. Mike, I think we have, you know, we have both options in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, as council and myself, we can talk about it and see where we're going to have to review the budget and see where we want to go with it. We'll let you know.
And if you'd like to see the quote from last year that I got from Nick Mayor, I'll be more than happy to forward that to you. You can review it, compare the prices. Everything's pretty much the same. A couple of things, like I said, the reverse sensing was added onto it, skid plates, carpeting. $7,000 difference, but you're talking two different types of vehicles, body styles. Motors,
right.
Different size.
We're getting the new body style versus if we'd have bought, we'd right. have the old body style.
Word is that it's more along the format of the Lincoln Model S. Nobody's been able to confirm that because nobody sees the car.
What's the color that you're looking at?
It's called the medium titanium metallic. It's a dark gray.
Would you, so Mike or Stan, you'd be able to talk to George and provide kind of have him give us a summary of where 7418 and 7483 are at as far as condition and the repairs. We'll get that record for us to look at.
Plus, Mayor, it would be nice to have reports on the other vehicles, too.
Yeah, but we can have George put that together, but
yeah.
As far as more immediate, so we can make a decision,
sure.
You know, here. Yeah, that's not a problem. I can have Rob talk to him about that. And I could have him give us a report pretty much on all the vehicles, including our buses. It's not a bad idea, Mr. Mendel, just to kind of see where we're at with all, you know, like I know what you're looking for, like we did in the past,
sure.
Like an inventory, and kind of give us where we're at. But you guys can take care of it. I'll talk to Rob about the other vehicles. You know, unless you want to talk about your police vehicles, but the other vehicles I can talk to them about.
As far as our vehicles, I'm the vehicle maintenance officer. Anytime an oil change comes in, an email is forwarded to me. Recently, I believe he put 4 new tires on 14, 74, 17, replaced the front end, I think it was a control arm or something along that lines on one of the vehicles. So wear and tear parts,
right.
Needs tires, things like that. I get all the emails saying, hey, this is what we did. We did an oil change, replace windshield wipers, things like that. So.
Great.
Thank you, Sergeant.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks, Mike. Any residents have any questions for Mike or the Chief? Or okay, very good. Fred, you?
We're good. Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Item number 6 is discussion on the 2019-2020 winter salt contract. Now, we're not saying summer anymore. They got rid of that program. And it's the salt contract. Rob Kalman put it together It's, what, 2,400 tons in the contract, 2,500. It's actually 2,400. His estimate for what we would need for that year, 2019-20, and then we give that agreement, we agree on that, we give that to ODOT. Well, we don't actually, we give it to our consortium, which then...
It goes to ODOT.
It goes to ODOT, and they negotiate it. So that's why the price isn't in there. It's the same practice that we've been doing for, what, the last 10 years, I think, something like that. So that's what his estimate is, about 2,400 ton of salt.
That saves us a lot of money.
I talked to Rob about it. I didn't feel it was necessary to have him here. He feels that's a very realistic estimate, not real conservative, but not real over the top. He feels it's very close to what he has used in years past, and based on what, you know, you always try to predict the next year, which you can't, but based on this year and the other years, he feels 2,400 is a very good estimate for us to enter into at ODOT.
And Mr. Mayor, we still had some left over from this past winter, didn't we?
Very limited.
From last year?
From this winter.
A limited amount.
Yeah.
Limited amount.
Thought there was some, though,
right.
That was left.
And the reason is what we talked about in the last meeting, because we weren't in the ODOT, we applied for it, and we thought we were in it. We actually had to go to a third party and buy salt, but we didn't have to buy the amount that we contracted with ODOT.
Right.
So we bought less.
Right.
And
so
we ended up saving about
$10,000. Yeah,
yeah.
Save money.
But I thought Rob had said that there was still not a huge amount, but
exactly.
Yeah, still some left.
I mean, the problem, which we've talked about a million times with this contract, is you give an estimate, and then you are held to that amount at the part that the consortium negotiates.
Mm-hmm.
So you could overestimate and think, or you can under. So it's kind of give and take, but we were fortunate it went that way. We were very fortunate.
Yes.
It could have went the other way,
sure.
and it would have been bad. You know, but it didn't, so it's we're okay with that. But I think it's to our best interest to enter in this contract with ODOT, the same as we have in the past. Any questions on it? Katie, did you want to add something, or
nope.
Anybody have any? So that will actually be a resolution, correct, Bill?
Yes, sir.
On the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions from residents? Okay, we will move on to item 7. That's the Northfield Alexander Road bid results. We did get that. Well, Don Sheehy received it along with Joe Gelati. You received the letter they sent the village here. They received the 4 proposals for that intersection improvement, which we voted on and talked about last year, and that's who they picked the lowest bidder.
Agresta.
CA Agresta Construction Company has been, they'd like to be awarded. Their recommendation is to award them the contract with alternate item number 1, which is the concrete walk, and they feel that stretch by the battery and the large planter, kind of, you know how it kind of, on Alexander Road, it's like all one piece where we had the lines. There mm-hmm. might be some talk about putting something, a separation there. So that's why they felt that we should keep that alternate one in there. Whether they use that or not is going to depend on how it engineers out. I talked to Joe Gelati this afternoon, and his suggestion was just to, and that's why, because when I read the letter, I wanted to make sure I was on the same page. And he said, he suggested that council keep it in there for that. Let's see, what else did he? share with me. That was really it on that. If kind of give you an idea, it's really not for Alexander Road, it's for the intersection, but what will be done on Northfield, about 500 feet from the light north and about 500 feet from the north, you know, south. Mm-hmm. I should say south, north, however you want to get it.
You're actually going east and north.
Yeah. East, yeah.
I know what you were doing.
But
so that's a concrete wall?
No. There's no concrete wall. That would be for a walk.
A concrete
walkway, yes. They're not sure if that's going to be part of it, but they feel it should be in there. It might be an option. It might be end up being required.
So that's alternate item one.
That's alternate, yep.
So it's about $5,000.
I think it's $6,000. I think it's, yeah. But with that, that's to increase, you know, to add a turning lane there, okay? Because it will be five lanes on both sides.
All right, Mayor?
Yes.
Are those poles, is everything done with the utilities and everything at
yes.
this point?
They will be the, this is, remember we talked about the arms, okay? There won't be the arms, the fancy arms, but the poles are fluted. Those were always part of that project. The only other thing that was going to be added was we were, before kind of the transition of the park, Northfield mm-hmm. Park, and MGM and the Hard Rock, there was some, maybe we were going to get a donation for the arms, mm-hmm. but when that was sold, that went away. But the poles are still the fluted poles, but the lights will still hang over the wires.
And
that,
you know.
So we're not, because that was $140,000-something.
Yeah.
So that's not in this bid.
Right.
But the poles were always in the bid to be consistent with.
And the current telephone poles or the electric poles that are there now, the wooden ones I'm talking about, those are all moved and is that work all?
No, they're still working.
Yeah, I don't know if there's that works all complete there.
Yeah,
I couldn't
okay.
answer that, Brian. That's something
Mr.
To answer.
Mayor, Joe. I happened to go by there today and I wasn't driving for a change, so I got to take a good look. You know, when I'm watching the road, I can't
right.
normally tell. The poles are in. It looks like it's going to be a little bit more time. I mean, just from a quick look, but it's moving mm-hmm. forward. I mean, I can tell they've done a lot mm-hmm. more work. So from what I did read that, you know, obviously the turn lanes won't start until that's all done.
Right.
So they had some of it cut down. You know, I saw like a piece of things sliced down and everything. So I don't know.
They're supposed to clean that all up.
Yeah.
When they get the new poles, they're going to eliminate some of the wires that are old and things. So what we're being told, it's going to aesthetically look nicer too. But the reason is actually because the widening there, and we have to put in those two turning lanes and, you know, to accommodate
mm-hmm.
The widening of that. So this is will be another resolution, correct, Bill, to accept the bid that is suggested by Joe Gelati and Don Shee, in other words, for Chagrin Valley.
That walk is going to be on the south side of the street.
Yes.
Or I'm sorry, the west side of Northfield.
Northfield
yes.
runs north and south.
No, it would be on the east side.
It would be on the east side.
East
if it's
side.
By
it would
the,
be by the
battery
place.
Place.
That's
it
the
would
west
be on
side.
The north.
That's,
no, that's the east side.
But
yeah,
Danny, here's the
what
thing.
What battery place are you talking about?
Western,
west side.
Western
yeah.
That's the northwest
side.
Corner of.
No, that's so.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Danny.
Northeast.
It doesn't.
Northwest.
It's not. It's an alternate. Okay. Which means if they decide to
yeah.
put that walkway or do something similar to that, whatever fits best, that's what they're going to do with it. That's why it's in there an alternate. I don't know how Joe worded it to me. It's one of those things, if they don't have to do it, they're probably not going to do it because they understand our situation of we don't want a small walk unless we're going to have all walks. But if the county dictates and the state that has to be there, he'd rather have it be in this bid for us mm-hmm. than to come back to us. Okay, So Joe was, his exact location of it is not quite ironed out yet. It might not even go in, Denny. It's an alternate. It might not even go in.
And if it doesn't...
Otherwise, they have to come back. Good night. Otherwise, they would have to come back to us. And with this, with the contractor, it would cost us more money than to have it be part of the bid project. So when Joe and Don put this together, for Green Valley Engineering, they put that in as part of that. Okay? But he wanted to list it as an alternate in case they value it out. It's like, you know, a lot of times on a project, you can value things out. And that's one of those things they might end up valuing out. So I can find out to give you more specifics. I'm trying to explain it the best that Joe told me. But I don't think it really matters at this time where they put it. It's just a matter of that we have budgeted for it. Because we won't make that decision anyways. We will rely on our engineers to make that decision.
Now, what is the purpose of that walk?
Well, there's a separate... The way that corner is, we all know that you have that... it's kind of like asphalt. The road kind of goes right into the parking lot.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people don't park there.
Right.
Yeah.
So there might have to be some separation there.
Into whose parking lot?
The Western Reserve, the battery.
Yeah, because, well, I walk that a lot. I walk right back, you know, that's my Alexander Northfield walk. And I see that area there all the time. So I think, you know, it's pretty safe there now as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
Well, we've had two vehicles already go through fencing there. Two different vehicles have already smashed through the fencing.
Yeah, it isn't.
They go right through.
Yeah. We've replaced, this will be the second time an insurance company's going to have to replace. And this last accident actually had pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Yes.
There's no actual curb there.
No.
No. And so that's why, Denny, there's some talk of that, too. They might even end up using it for curbing. I mean, it's hard to say, and that's why he put that in there as an alternate. You know.
So you got that new building, then you got the battery place. So,
yes.
So the walk's going to extend down to that new building, or
Bishop Brothers?
Yeah, it could. He's not exactly sure. They wanted to have that. This is the only way I can explain it. And then, if you need to, we can talk to Joe. And is that he wanted to have money in there for a walkway, for that alternate walk, in case they need to build that into the project. Okay, and it was more cost effective to have it in there at the time they're doing it if the engineers, along with the other engineers, feel it needs to be in there. If it doesn't need to be in there, we're not going to put it in there just for aesthetics or just thing. It will be valued out. That's why he's listening as an alternate. If it had to be in there for the job, it would be in there and wouldn't be an alternate. So that's why I just wanted to make it clear to you, they're listing as an alternate because it's something that might be valued out if they don't need to do it. Okay? Very common practice. Okay? We certainly don't want to get into the project and come back for that. It's easier to do it now.
Right.
And value it out. Because if they come back to us, it's not going to be because they want to put it in because it looks good. It's because they're going to have to. Well, it's easy now. Let's not slow the process. Just go with that. So that's why I just wanted to point it out on your bid package there where it says alternate. And on that letter that Joe wrote us, he specifically said, it is also recommended the village include the alternate item number one. And that's why I just wanted to point that out. So if you look at the bid pack, why is that alternate item number one in there? That's I just wanted to explain that to you. That's all. So that's where we're at with that. So it would be a resolution to accept the bid recommended by Joe and Don Sheehy on the next council meeting. Any questions on that?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Are there any other grants or anything that we will be receiving towards this project?
Yeah, that's a good...
I know that we, once the project was started, my understanding was that we were on the hook if we stopped a project for approximately $500,000 for just the light poles being moved.
Yeah, why don't, I don't know if, Katie, you want to talk to that, but sure. Well, you can talk to the financing part, because I know we talked about that. I'm glad we're, because I wanted to make sure we all understand the financing part before Tuesday and which way, because there's also that change with how we're going to pay ahead. You know, go ahead, Katie.
So there's going to be approximately half, $350,000, in the form of a grant from OPWC. The other remaining portion, we will be financing through OPWC loan. And rather than in the past, we would pay all the costs up front and then request reimbursal, we have the option to have OPWC pay the contractor directly. So it'll all be booked in our accounting system the same way as if we were doing the transactions, but it saves our cash flow. So.
Okay, and what's the terms of the loan, Katie, on that?
They're usually, I believe this one is a 0%, and it should be 20
years. Or 20 years also.
Yeah, likely will not start paying on that until probably July of 20, depending on completion date of the project.
Okay, so we don't have to pay on it until after the project is completed?
Yes.
But they are drawn, like, they are drawn funds.
Yeah, I did my first draw to be reimbursed for engineering costs, which started actually back in 2016. So I just actually submitted it today for $50,000 in reimbursement for what we've spent already on engineering for this project. $58,000, yes.
And that started in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that whole corner has been a very slow process. And it was something we had to take part of. Let's see. Anything else on that? Any residents have any comments on the Northfield and Alexander intersection? Everybody good? Everybody comfortable with a resolution for that, having next meeting?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, we could always put on first reading or whatever.
We need to get this.
Yeah, I don't want you to feel, or if you have any questions, you can contact me. We can always... Or you're always welcome, you know, to contact Don or Joe yourself if you wanted to. You know, it's not a problem. Rob's very familiar, but Joe and Don are really the most familiar with it because they've been involved with it from, you know, like 2016, and it's really starting to get down the crunch time on it happening, as you can see that project moving down Northfield.
Mr. Mayor, do we know approximately how long it's going to take yet for them to finish the light poles? Any idea? No,
I'm not going to guess. But that's a question I can find out.
Yeah, because I was just wondering, because I've had residents say about us still voting on an emergency basis. And the salt contract, I understand, because that needs to be submitted before April 19th. You know,
so, right.
But,
and unfortunately, we just got the bid sheets. So.
Yeah, we just got the bid sheets back. I don't even know. I'll have to ask Joe if there's even a deadline yet.
I was saying for the salt contract.
Oh, the salt, yeah.
Yeah, for the road bids, no, you certainly could do multiple.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be a problem, but I'll find that out. I know last time I asked him about that, he was like, well, Don, can't give a date until we start. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the, and he didn't even have the bids back yet. So, yeah, those are things we could find out.
Well, they did have earliest start dates possible on the bids. Some of them being as early as April 29th, but it can't be started until the rest of the poles are
the
all
poles
moved
are
and completed. So we're kind of stuck with the utility companies.
Exactly.
That's what's holding everything up.
The illuminating company's been kind of driving that whole project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they absolutely have.
Well, we can't get Young Drive going yet, so. Or not. what is it back there?
Yeah, the the hole in the ground and
over
AT&T
in our
box.
Industrial Parkway,
yeah.
And then you get the storm that throws. Well, at least that's what they'll tell us. Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I have a question on it's number 19 on the sheet, and it's $66,000 for maintenance of traffic's maintenance. What is that? Flag guys, you know? It's not the police because they're under that.
Traffic maintenance, $7,590.
You're looking at, number 19?
Yeah.
On the bids.
Yeah. A lot of times they will hire a outside, what's the name of that company you see on the road, though? You guys know. Yeah.
To direct the...
AWP. And I know what you guys here, you can speak to it. They always put that in the quotes, Gloria, because we can't, if you're going to depend on your police department to do that, then it would have to be part of this, and we would have
but
to make sure.
But that's what it is. It's the
that
flag.
That is what it is. It's the, yes,
yeah,
that's
they're the flaggers.
The flaggers, and if they, you know, they get a big loader and they got to do both sides, they have a flagger on each end. So that is exactly what that is.
Yeah, the interesting part on that, though, Mr. Mayor, is SET wants $85,000. Trimore wants $120,000.
Yeah.
And
so
Cat's
that's the
Construction
difference in the
is only asking for $25,000. So, they're all over the place with the bids.
Well, that's
some probably use their own people, you know. And
that's where they plug in the margin.
Yeah, I'll stand out there.
Yeah.
But you have flat toes when they run over.
That's why they didn't get the contact.
That's why they got steel-toed boots.
That's the biggest thing on there.
Any other questions? Any questions from the audience? Residents? Okay. Now let's move into the fun part. Mary and Katie, Mary, you want to open it up? Item number 8, Finance Committee update, first quarter.
Well, this is a brief synopsis, mostly just the bullet points of some of the highlights of the first quarter. And we do have a first quarter financial balance sheet and what have you. And Katie can probably speak to that better than I can, just because she can whip through it a little bit faster than I can. But the highlights that we have right now is that we originally budgeted for a $79,822 surplus. We're currently trending at a $418,388 surplus. So we're well over our original budget as far as the surplus goes. And we conservatively budgeted for tax almost already halfway to our revenue projection through one quarter. So we're doing much better than we had anticipated. Our property tax distribution for the first half was nearly $300,000 due to the trash assessment and increase in the inside millage. And our courts continue to do well. Traffic camera is nearly at the budgeted revenue amount for the entire year.
You're kidding me. Wow.
Budgeted at $150,000, we're currently at $99,000 in collected revenues. So that's already been collected.
So far this year?
So far this year. Expenditures are on pace with the budget through the first quarter. Budgeted $100,000 for salt and an additional $15,000 in the state highway fund. Salt expenditure was under budget at $93,787. So as they just mentioned that even though we were not in the ODOT program, we could buy less salt even if we had to pay a little bit more. So we still came out ahead. We have many projects starting right now in the spring, so there will be significant expenditures, but most is offset with grants or loan reimbursement. So even though it comes out now, it kind of, it's all in the wash. It takes a little time to get everything in place. So we're well ahead of what we had anticipated. for the original budget already the first quarter, so that's all good news. Mm-hmm. So
she said it all.
Yeah.
Well,
good job, Mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to give you one because I wrote on mine. I'll print it out.
Did you want to mention the leaf litter?
No, but do you want to kind of, Katie, just kind of go,
sure.
Kind of just, I guess what we can do is just kind of look at what we have budgeted, kind of where we're at as far as highlights. What do you think? That might be something we could probably run through. kind of like where, kind of, just expound a little bit on what Mary reported
sure.
on. Unless you guys are good with that, I mean.
Mayor, I just want to make a quick comment on the last page. Just a quick comment. Just, you know, we're not going to pop the champagne corks yet.
Far from it.
Oh, no.
We've got,
it's just good news for a change.
Look, exactly. Trending in the gray. I'll take it.
Yeah,
I will take
right.
it. Cash fund balance, very last page, $1.5 million, $1,573. The purchase orders are $1,336,000. The unencumbered fund balance, which is money we have free and clear, it's not spoken of, is only $236,310.
Right.
So but keep in mind, those are purchase orders for the entire year.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
our revenues will continue to come in if we needed to cut any of those.
We could, yeah. And then again, we are trending in a very good, positive trend, but... I just wanted to bring that out, that our fund balance actually is, you know.
Well, sure. Those are all of our obligations for the year.
It's far from, I guess, Brian, because, and it's good you say that, because it also shows why we had to put the burden on all of us.
Right. Exactly.
It wasn't, you know, now all of a sudden, because we've done this, it's not like we have a windfall. It's far from it.
We still have to
We haven't done nothing really with our secondary roads. Yep. We're talking to police cars. We're also talking, Katie mentioned the leafer, which you have heard from Rob. We got some stuff that is not even options that we're going to have to spend money on just to continue to give good services to the residents and keep our village nice.
Yes.
Oh, so we're not done.
And I appreciate you pointing it out, because those are very important. It's far from it. Still boils down to our tax base,
right.
Our municipal tax, our payroll tax.
Right.
It still boils down to that. I know Mary had a meeting today with Smith and Olby. I know we're continuing, Tom Jordan, continuing to talk to them, maybe about doing something on the corner, expanding their office. I know you're smiling. We met with them, but we're trying to get that going. And there's other businesses. We're hoping Tiger Automotive is starting to do some interior stuff into the old Manaway building. We're kind of keeping an eye on that. We're watching to see if those cars all show up there and they're working in there. But that's not happening. But they are working on the inside. HGE is really trying to ramp up their concrete mixing plant there. So I think the big thing is, of course, the corner. We can't hang our hat there totally, but that is the largest piece of property this village has, and it's a very important corner. And so we're really hoping we hear something soon on that. So we are working on some very positive things too. And if we knew a little more of our future, it would also help with some of this decision making. But we have to look at it that we're going in the right direction, but that's because of what responsibilities we put on all of us here.
Right.
And when I say all of us, it means everybody here that lives in the village. You know. Because we're all paying more money. Mm-hmm. So we still have to be just as tight as we are. And that's why I mentioned to you, you know, about the car. But we also understand some things you just got to do, too. So do we want to go through any more of the B-52 report?
No, we're good.
Got a love shack after
the beef and grease.
And we will, we're planning on putting.
I don't think he realized he said that.
Did I say
B-52?
Got a love shack.
Maybe I'm thinking aerospace. How's that?
B-52, I'm thinking,
since
okay.
That's the big talk in the state right now. If you, you read anything, it's aerospace.
Okay. Yeah.
They're
we'll
putting money in the...
Glenn. Glenn
yeah.
Research Center
NASA,
has a big bid going.
So it's not the group he's talking about.
No.
Yeah. Valley View, which has, Valley View, which has DuPont.
Whale.
The mayor shared with me, the governor was there last week. They got a large contract. They're going to do some work with for the aerospace program, and the mayor of Valley View shared that with us Friday. So there is a lot of things, so maybe that was, that's my good opinion. Good excuse.
That's good.
It is a 52 report.
Form
report
52.
52.
Report,
yeah.
52. Report. He said not, B-52,
not
and I'm
going to change it to
I'm
B-52.
Tired.
Yeah. That's the
Brian
name.
Would like that.
That's right.
He can relate to that.
B-52 it is.
I knew somebody worked on those. But.
Anything else in the budget that we want to go over, or are we... And it was just really to get a report. It's something we can put in the journal.
Yeah.
We can put that together in the journal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we'll get to the real boring stuff here.
Oh.
Discussion on small cell towers. And that's kind of where we left off at our last COW meeting. Did everybody do their homework?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I am very upset with myself that I forgot those pictures because...
You want to run home?
No. No. They're actually at work on my desk. I use their copier. Is there an engineer or someone who could... explain this a little better? I mean, you read the jargon and the definitions and some of the things. I mean, it makes sense, especially the definitions. I mean, we can incorporate, in my mind, almost all of that except for the historic. We don't have a historic area and things like that. But it's so technical to me, if this is going to have to happen, or I mean, would it be wiser if they attached it to our utility poles? I mean, I wish somebody like, like Joe Gelati or somebody, I mean, somebody who understands this a little bit better to explain to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could take this and modify it, make it more our own, and maybe that would be the safest thing, but I guess I'm just trying to get my arms around it a little bit, and I don't know how anybody else feels about that, but it's a little... You know, it's got to have a 5-foot shield, and then, I'm like,
Well, they really seem to. I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, they
really
have
seemed to like,
did a
outline
everything.
You know,
yeah,
and
that's not bad though.
No,
that's not bad. It's just that I don't pretend that I know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, a lot of this is like I think Bill was saying the other week, they did get this from people who worked on this
yes.
in the courts and stuff. So a lot of this is boilerplate, mm-hmm. So I would suggest keeping most, if not all, of this stuff, And like you said, I have a couple questions as far as making it our own. One thing I have a question, we have the ordinance, which is that goes into their legislation. Then we have the
permit.
Design guidelines.
Yeah.
And the ordinance refers in one part to the design guidelines, but where exactly where do the design guidelines go? Do they get incorporated into the ordinance or are they separate? And if they are separate, how do they become law that these are officially, these are official?
Yeah, I had the same question that you did when I looked at it the first time, but I think what we would do is adopt it as part of the ordinance.
Like, okay.
And then they will dictate, obviously, the design.
Yeah, okay. Well, that answers that. Thanks. I only had a couple questions, you know, really. That, like I brought up last week with reserving the right to have spots picked out in the village for us. Maybe
right.
In the future we could, that might behoove us. I had in the ordinance in section 1030.05. And Mary, I don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger because I spent probably an hour and a half going through these definitions. Okay, accessory, and, you know, and I'm and I had three of these things out, these sections out, and okay, what's the definition of this again? What's the definition? Because they all melded together, you know. It's like, but okay, so 1030.05. It would be on page six. What did I write here? Okay, there's an application fee of $250.
Right.
But one application fee, one application could serve up to, if you go to the previous page, 1030.04, up to 30 individual cell tower or cell facilities. So my question is, can we limit that further? They do mention, pursuant to ORC, Ohio Revised Code, an applicant may file a consolidated application for up to 30 individual cell facilities. I can understand that. We would have to follow that, I would assume. But can we charge more for... can we say, we're only going to allow you to have 15... per or 10 per permit, you know, something like that. And I'm just throwing that number out. I don't know what that would be, but, you know, something to that effect to help our bank account a little bit.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
When I saw that, Brian, I was thinking the same thing, but I thought, well, does that mean ORC says that they can have up to 30 on one application, but can we dictate, which I think is the same
that,
thing you're
saying. You're saying the same
that
thing.
Yeah, every... Right. There has to be a fee on.
So
you
many
have an application for up to 30 of them, but every tower has to have a fee paid on it.
Something like that. Something
yes.
That effect.
That's the same question.
You had that. 1030.02, which would be on page 5, paragraph B. This is probably something for Mr. Mason. It just sounds more like a suggestion. It sounds like something that would be more on the... applicants are strongly encouraged to contact the village engineer and request a pre-application conference. To me, that doesn't sound like an ordinance. It sounds like a suggestion that would be on the application. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if that would be relevant to put in there. And also, same thing as Mary, great minds think alike. I did not read anything in here that preferenced current poles as the site as opposed to building another antenna.
Well, that was what I was wondering.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the pictures, and I saw how they're attaching them to regular old utility poles and palm trees, and then they have the individual tower by itself. I didn't like the palm tree. That was fun. But in the fact that they said, at least in this document, that you could have two different companies attaching to the same pole, and
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, you know, do we limit the number of companies? You know, we're all just kind of brainstorming
mm-hmm.
here, but these are things that, you know, I don't know. Does that jeopardize us if we don't have all of them in here with the driving car? I mean, you know, I don't understand the technology well enough
sure.
to know what I'm limiting.
Yeah, I was reading it. You know, it's, you can ask them to change the pole to make it look aesthetically
what
you want it to be, but I've never seen them. I don't even know what, you know, you're describing.
Google it.
They're
look
all
it
all
up. They show pictures. 5G cell.
5G cell.
Do you want me to go print some?
Would you mind? That would be great.
Yeah.
It showed different options, like the actual tower itself, which I realize I have seen them because I have seen a tower like this somewhere. But I was amazed at what I saw, how they're just chock-fulling these utility poles full of these little devices that hang over. And from what I did read, evidently San Francisco is fighting these. I mean, there are a lot of communities and cities who don't want these in there. Whether anyone will win, probably not. But there were all different kinds of presentations of these. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't list anything in here about the poles or whatever and how, you know, I don't know. So.
Yeah, I was just wondering if we could, like you said, like
we need
could
to maybe
add
incorporate that.
Something in there that said, you know, we would preference the existing pole and an installation on. We have telephone poles all over the place. Preference that if it's technologically feasible for them to do that, because in this ordinance it also says somewhere or in the design criteria, Cuyahoga Heights, right?
Yes.
Cuyahoga Heights can suggest an alternative area up to 100 feet, and they have to show that it's not technologically feasible for them to do that. So if we could say, well, you have to put it on a pole unless you can show us that you have to have this other pole between properties, you know, between residential properties, you know.
I think that's a good idea. It's the communities like Macedonia, where my husband's house is. They have no poles. All the utilities are underground. They're the ones who are going to end up with the towers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's aesthetically nice, you know, with not having a tower. I mean, a pole. But now you're going to get something like this. So, I mean, if we have to have it, I would prefer to see them use the poles that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a specific mention made, but there is the attachment fee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we in charge here. Them attachment.
Oh yeah,
fees.
No, they had the attachment fee.
Right,
you know.
But
well, that attachment fee was
it.
Only for municipal owned poles.
Right.
I don't think we own any pole. I think they're all CEIs or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, they're not ours.
Yeah.
Why don't we
but
put
it's
a little?
It's also a municipal owned wireless.
Plant our
spray paint. Spray paint them. Spray paint them. Walt W.H. They're ours now.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, that was one of them.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Oh, this is the one I found.
I just
found.
Had some
this
things
was
that
exactly
I had written down.
It. You can pass
they're
around.
More
they
just
put them on
off,
trees.
Off the cuff thing when I read this because I'm thinking, is this going to look like E.T. or what? I had no idea what this thing's going to look like.
And then this
but
was the one
what effect could it have on the traffic cameras?
Flashing lights
with
and
this
corona.
Right. You know, somebody could say, well, no, I wasn't really going that fast. You know, you got these other things here and da-da-da. They interfere with the digital or whatever. And like Linda Lane, it's a non-dedicated street. So, you know, it's not a like Alexander or Walton, but mm-hmm. they say, okay, it's non-dedicated. You can't tell us what we can do or can't do with that. We could put something there maybe. Are we going to get any money from this? You know, and how would we make any money, the village itself? The insurance costs, as I said before, for things pertaining to this, could it cost us more for insurance that we have these things? And also, I think we need our engineers here, Joe Gelati and that, to actually describe some of these things and the way they describe, oh, it's in a 6-foot cabinet and all these things, you know.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. That,
that
you know, that they were more
funny.
Knowledgeable.
I know. Tried to hide
no
it.
One will notice. No one will notice.
I'll go along with the palm trees. Let's
that's the one I saw. That's the one I loved it.
In,
yeah.
Can you pass one?
Sure.
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 Oh, yeah.
That one's actually funny.
They're all different.
All.
They're all different. All three of those are different. All those are different. It shows you the difference.
You'll recognize what they are. They got like five different.
That looks
you'll
like
recognize.
A robot.
Yeah.
Some communities already have.
Just yeah.
There is some. Burton has them. You.
I was in Middleburg and I had 5G on.
Yeah, Middleburg.
Phone
I think
over the weekend.
It's not a.
Yeah.
It's,
somebody over
no,
there
it's,
has
it's
it.
Happening.
Yeah. It's happening.
Well, it's happening, and I think the important thing is for us to do all the due diligence to keep the aesthetics of our village.
And right. Keep us as safe as possible. Yeah. But I think, like what you both said, you know, a non-dedicated street, it should be exempt.
It's not written in here anything about that.
Yeah, but even a non-dedicated
well, they probably don't have one.
Easement for utilities, so they're,
right.
They've got gas lines, water
yeah,
lines.
They don't
there's
total,
electric
right.
Utility or utility easements going down those streets already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
exactly.
Where that's where these will be placed.
Yeah, the utilities don't have the rights to any, or else you don't have electricity. More water from those municipalities.
Well, I think we should contact the communities that do have these towers in them. You said Burton, Middlefield, or whatever, and just see, you know, what are your problems,
yeah.
Or what?
Maybe
what,
they. What would you do differently?
Yeah. Exactly. What's
but
the
I
pros
think
and cons?
If we could put in there that we would prefer to see them on the poles rather
mm-hmm.
than setting up separate towers.
I just don't believe that we're going to have a way of restricting how many there are.
Yeah.
You know,
can you
like
make this overlay zone
like historical.
Yeah, it make this city village the whole thing
the whole
historical. Yeah.
Well, there's also, and I think, and I talked to the mayor just briefly, very briefly this afternoon, and I believe Rob does have a copy of
yes.
these things. And he should look it over for a couple
yeah.
months and go through it, because there's like height 40 feet and things like that. They obviously need to meld within our current zoning
right,
or
that
whatever.
Could be pretty obtrusive.
You know, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
40 feet is high.
That's when I hope one of my trees falls on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's why I was kind of pulling my hair out, because I said I was hoping someone else with some engineering or understanding of it, because 40 feet, you know, that's four stories. That's
mm-hmm.
that's quite high, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some ideas now.
And there was a noise factor involved, too.
Yes.
So maybe they hum. I don't know.
Oh.
Power line.
You know,
there's
power
a fan.
Line, yeah.
There's a fan on them.
Yeah,
there's a
you
fan.
Live next door to
there's a cooling fan on them. That's what. It,
yep.
So.
I can share with you what you know. Talking to the other mayors, this our thing. Valley's working on this right now. They're further than us. They have some in place, but it isn't complete. I had it sent to me. The mayor there, he just sat down. I caution you, it's not complete. Talking to some of the mayors, there was eight of us. Some have done nothing, but most of them have something in place. And some, it seems like this is a very common, more of a common ordinance here, because it was put forth by a law.
Well, Walter Aberfield, when the state first passed this, a group of municipalities fought it. And Walter Aberfield was the law firm that fought it. And they ended up resolving it with the state. And I don't know if they won it at trial or they just resolved it, but as a result of that, they created this model ordinance, and that's what this is. That's where it comes from. Cuyahoga Heights, in turn, just took the model ordinance and passed it. So that's how they got there. But when I saw how complicated it was, I thought that we should delve into it a little bit.
Right. Absolutely.
But at the same time, we don't have to feel we have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
I guess that's the conversations
yes.
I've had with some of you and Bill is, this is very complicated, and maybe that's not so bad, because maybe it's over, but we do need to tailor it to our needs so we're not missing something like what you're saying and everybody on this committee is saying. So why don't I do this? We know Rob has a copy. Why don't I'll have a conversation with Don Sheehy and Joe to see what they know about it, okay? And if they're familiar with it, we can invite them to our meeting and go with that and go from there. If they're not familiar with it, I'm sure they can maybe help us in the right direction, too. I know, Bill, you've been kind of diving into it.
Yeah, sure.
Putting in things that you think maybe we should just legally tailor it to us.
Mm-hmm.
which is important. So we certainly don't want to adopt it with the village of Cuyahoga Heights in there.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, that would be.
Oops. We merged.
But it, so don't feel, Mary, that, like, because everybody's kind of running into the same thing. But at the same time, we do want to get it in place. I think that's really kind of the important part of it. Because sometimes, all of a sudden, if we don't get it in place, next thing you know, you got somebody saying, hey, we're coming down the road here, you know.
Well, don't misunderstand me. I don't want to hold it up.
Oh, no, 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 no.
It was just that
as
Bill stated,
it's
complicated for a reason. And that's, you know, to me, it always kind of puts people off, like, well, if all these, I don't want to say infractions, but all these rules are in place, you're less likely to come plowing in and just putting your little towers up. So that's what we want. But I think, like Brian said, about there's nothing in there that's definitive about, you know, we're going to use the poles or use the towers, although they have those fees. The preferential thought in my mind would be to use the poles already existing and charge them for everyone.
Yeah.
And make as much money off of them as we can.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For schlocking up our community.
Throwing the waves through our brains.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Help with
that's
our health coverage.
That's the part that stinks, you know?
Yeah.
We pay a price for technology,
oh,
you know,
sure
health-wise,
do.
Sometimes.
And, you know, this is good, but, you know, technology, as Sergeant Gervasi was saying, you know, we're talking something in a 6-cubic-foot box. 5 years from now, mm-hmm. they'll laugh at a 6-cubic-foot box,
inches,
probably.
Yeah,
you know, but you have to, unfortunately, do it for what we have right,
right
now.
Right. Well, I'm good with that.
So do we want to continue to dive in it, or do you want to continue to look at it? I know everybody's been looking at it, which is great.
Let's continue to look at it.
If you have
let's
any ideas, we can always submit them to myself or Katie or Rob or Bill, and then we can, you know, keep the ideas going and make notes of
see what Rob comes up with from a zoning perspective.
Yeah, we need to get somebody from kind of a different perspective maybe to look at it.
Not just Rob, but the chief also, if there's specific areas where, you know, our officers are sitting.
And our engineer, if he, you know, knows more about these and
zoning.
Yep.
So, yeah, whatever.
Seems different between residential and commercial, the way they can put them.
Yeah.
So...
I'm the only one that wants to keep going in this exciting topic right now.
You are.
You are.
I really am.
We need more input.
It sounded good. It sounded good. I know as we talked, and I wasn't trying to take the easy way out, but I just kind of want to understand what the other communities were doing, and I think they went with the same direction as Phyllis. They've taken this one that was put out there, and they tailored it to their own needs. So I think we will come up with something in the next couple of meetings.
And I think Gloria had a very good idea of contacting the municipalities that currently have them. You know, what problems are you running into, if you're running into any problems?
Right.
Or, you know, what, you know, if you had the chance to do it over, what would you try to limit? If you
and
could?
What
right.
are, the, and what
a
are
good,
their
that's
fees?
A very good,
exactly.
If they have fees, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see.
What do they charge?
Yeah.
Because until you have them, you really don't
right.
know.
Yeah.
So that's a
right.
that's something
2020
we can.
Hindsight.
I'd like to take a ride out there to Burton and have them
go
look
ahead.
At them.
Yeah.
Just to see.
This is the Maple Festival.
Okay.
You know, that is one thing to consider, though, too. Burton and
they're small.
Middlefield, those are very rural.
Yeah.
And the houses are very well set back from the road. I mean, some of them, it could be a quarter of a mile driveway.
I was thinking about it, like in Burton, is the square.
Yes, or it's really the old.
You know,
that,
or
yeah.
around the old.
That's like the most populated
that
area over
right,
by the
Walmart.
And,
I know.
Well, we can go on the internet. Stuff, that will be before we go out there or contact. Maybe we can really see.
There's a really good restaurant in that old one. I can't think of the name.
Yes, there is. It's very good.
So stop there.
It's on the corner.
Yeah, it's on the corner.
We could take the bus.
All right.
All the Amish don't need this.
What we need to do is I'll contact Joe and Don, share our conversations with them. Rob has been shared this legislation. We'll continue to mark these up and gather our information. Everybody continue to mark them up. If there are anything you think, we can always forward them. We can forward them here to myself or Katie or Bill, you know, or just hang on to them to our next meeting. And then we'll do some research on the other communities.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty good approach. For everybody to have a little bit of digestion of this, and then make your changes, and we can consolidate into one document then, and then go through it and see if that still meets our needs.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, so we're moving forward with it.
Yes, we
got
are.
A better plan than we did last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a lot. And believe me, I can share with what value you gave me too, what the mayor there sent me today. After our breakfast, I was under the impression that they completed theirs. That was the impression I got from him. And I thought, oh, great, you know, because they're a community very similar to ours.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he sent it over to me, he gave it, it's not complete yet. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard to juggle, to read, too, you know, because it's kind of all over the place. Yet. But we can, you know, I can make some copies and we can all look at it. I just received that today, so. So are we good with discussion on small cell towers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anybody from residents want to add anything on that? Are we good?
We're
good.
<They're all. laughs>
Other business, I do have. I was going to bring up the cameras being put up, so we did talk about that. You'll see our service department out there with Rob doing that. That's. A good test. Yes, go ahead.
Since you brought up about the traffic cameras, I was just reading recently in one of the government magazines that I had that the state is changing the laws on the traffic cameras, and because of the change, the camera offenses won't be able to be viewed administratively but must be reviewed in court instead.
Yeah, go ahead. We know we kind of talked about that a little bit.
With the gas tax, that was part of that legislation, which, by the way, we will get another $78,000 a year in gas tax starting next year because of that. It did go through. It takes effect 90 days. It passed last week. The stipulation was that an appeal to a traffic camera ticket could not be done locally. It would have to be done through the municipal court. Mm-hmm. So anyone, we have once a month where people come in and appeal their tickets for the cameras only, but they will now, once it goes into effect, have to go to municipal court, and we are responsible for paying the filing fees, and we do not get that back. But I believe that several cities have already filed injunctions against it.
We're responsible
but I believe
for the filing fee?
We would be responsible for the filing fee. We would, if the judge found in favor, you know, that they did owe the $100 fine or whatever it was, then yes, we would get our percentage and the company would. But we're out those filing fees with municipal court.
How much is the filing fee?
I'm not positive. I'm sorry.
It's not taking place yet. In fact, we understand it might not take place for another year or two.
Yeah.
Right, because they've already filed injunction.
But I mean, if it's $20, I mean, you know, and we get 40, we're still ahead of the game. You know?
True.
And not too many people file. Now, they might file more appeals if that were to pass.
Sure. And especially if they know that the municipality is responsible for.
Sure.
You know, those additional fees.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's the advantage, not the advantage, but good thing we didn't finance those cameras.
Right. And I don't think the company would be putting it in if they thought.
No. And here's the thing. If, let's say it comes at a point where it's doesn't, you know, we have to revisit it, you know, that's.
Or we have to revisit the fines, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. The representative from GATSO keeps the chief and I updated in Nancy about what's going on. He said that because of this, if it does go into effect, that several communities here are considering raising their fines to cover those costs. So if it does go into effect, it's something we could consider, and he would be happy to come out and talk to you about everything that's going on. So,
do you know a percentage-wise of how many are appealed? 1 out of 10, or you know?
Probably less than that.
Mm-hmm. I think we have those numbers.
Yeah.
But I think on average we have maybe 8 to 10 people per month at the most who have come in to appeal them.
And how many do we get in a month? I mean, how many tickets?
100? A couple thousand.
A couple thousand?
Yeah. Well, close to it, yeah.
And only 10 people.
Yeah. And even when they appeal,
doesn't mean that they're going to.
There's still, most of the time, it's just a reduced.
Generally, it may be reduced, sometimes not. They're not thrown out. So.
But not all of them are thrown out.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, we look at them over first. So, I mean, if we're kind of, we don't process them either. You know.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Chief, yes, that's part of the process. He looks over and makes sure they are legitimate and mm-hmm. would be able to stand up in a court process. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's always ever-changing. I mean, that's been a. Remember, first they were outlawed, then it went to the Supreme Court, and they overruled it, and then it came back. So now it's finding another path.
I was telling you earlier that I was at the senior safety thing today, and I asked Debbie Gaspar, the officer. She's been here for 26 years, police woman.
And county.
And I asked her, what is the most dangerous situation for a police officer? Traffic stop, a domestic, or like a riot, maybe up at the Roxino? It's a traffic stop. Mm-hmm. That is the most dangerous things where more officers are killed stopping.
Oh, yeah.
So the cameras are a safety issue to me.
Yeah.
Less that they have to be catching these guys that are.
Well, not. Not to get off subject, but look at that accident that killed that man, and he was with his son, and then someone else hit the police officer's cruiser, and they were all these impaired drivers, and you know, somebody loses their life. They said, I read somewhere just today, that the worst thing that can happen is for you to get on the side of the road and be on the side of the road, because that's where the fatalities occur.
That's why they block the car now. If you ever notice, police cars off to the side, you know, over more, because it used to be he'd be standing there and the car would go by and hit the police officer.
Oh, yeah.
So now they block it, you know.
So.
Yes. And they also said there's less going to the academy. They do not want to be police officers.
Yeah, that's true.
If you get stopped by a police officer and you want to mitigate the situation, the thing that's always worked for me is that I turn all the lights on inside my car, and I reach up and grab the wheel, and that's all I touch the whole time he's walking up to me. Because I've had to say, why do you do that? Well, it's a dangerous thing that you're doing. That's what I tell them.
I just cry.
But it works.
I'm going to throw
does
up.
It works.
Nah. No. I'm.
So, but that's a very dangerous thing that they do.
In the old days.
My daughter uses the blue eye system.
Yeah.
So. I have my ESP.
How's that working for you, Fred?
Yeah, no work for me.
As a female officer.
And at any time, with what we're talking about, if we need to bring the representative in from GASCO, you know, along with the chief, we can do that as this thing gets, you know, to keep us all updated on what's going on as this kind of goes down that road. So as residents ask us, we're all kind of
I just want to be sure that you guys were aware.
They're the ones investing
money.
That's their business.
Yes.
Oh, they're following. You know,
then.
Jennifer.
Oh, yeah.
You can only imagine how much they're following it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are.
Well, I'm sure they have a lobbyist working on it too.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do.
Okay, so we talked about that on our other business, and then I wanted to talk about. We got two appointments in the Planning Commission that expired, which was Joe D'Amico and Janice St. John. Normal practice has been to, for myself, the mayor, you know, or the, this position, for this position, to ask them if they want to continue. And they submitted, they both submitted letters that they would like to continue. I haven't heard anything where they haven't been effective in their positions. Mm-hmm. So I was going to recommend reappointing them. I make the appointment and you guys confirm.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, I have had calls from residents and stuff, you know, talking about, you know, well, you have appointments for, you know, the Planning Commission's a 6-year appointment. And I think the zoning's the same term. We have no term limits on either one of those. And so I don't know if that's something that this committee, you know, we want to talk about or think about. I don't know if we want to change the term. If anything, maybe, and I'm just, I haven't even thought about it or haven't talked to other municipalities to see if they've gone there and it's been effective. I do know, and so I guess maybe the only thing I think would maybe if we were talking maybe term limits to cycle more residents in. I know in the past there wasn't any term limits because it was hard to get residents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's the thing. What I do know, I did do something that if you, because somebody said, oh, it should be 2 years. The 2 years in those committees or even 4 years it would be that it's important to have some stability in those committees because you are ruling on some important issues. And you need to have people who understand zoning and planning, and that's something you're not going to learn in a 2-year term. Or maybe even a 4-year. You might have 2 or 3 come before you. So having some people with some tenure is very important in those committees, from what I understand. But I'm just bringing it to you because I did have a resident who has talked to me about it, and you know, very legitimate reasons, and I, you know, that we should at least maybe review it or see. I am in favor of renewing those two, and if we're going to do something, do it as we move forward, so that the everybody that's on these committees would understand kind of where we're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at.
Mr. Mayor, do you know how long they've been on that?
Well, one is Joe D'Amico, and the other one is Janice St. John. I do know that Joe, that was his first term.
Mm-hmm.
Janice, that's something we've been,
she's been longer.
Okay.
And Mike Hopkins.
Yeah, and Mike Hopkins is, he's on his first term too. His expires, I think, next year.
This September.
Yeah. He's on his first term. Janet is the only one with tenure. That exact thing I'd have to look into, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like you were saying, and I was thinking, look at all of the letters of interest that we had on the open council position.
Right.
You know, and how many people were there. And for somebody just to say, yeah, I want to keep the job, okay, you know, kind of sounds unfair, you know, almost. So when you're talking about term limits...
Right.
It is, I think that is something that should be considered.
Well, I'm bringing it because if council wants to talk about it, that's fine. I explained to the resident, it's not something this body just dreamed up. It's something that's been going on for a long time. And that doesn't mean it's right. I explained that to that person. It doesn't always make it right just because we've been doing it for 50 years. Maybe we need to review that. I did express to them what I was going to do with these two positions just because I don't know if it would be, I don't think it would be fair to hold up those two appointments while we move or even discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I do think moving forward, you know, maybe we
right. Well, now that it's come to light and stuff and it's been brought up, I would be in favor of it being something that we discuss.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
going on.
Right. But I just kind of want to make you aware, I haven't done enough research on it to see, and I think that's something we can all do and, you know, find out.
We have a question.
Yes.
Why aren't the terms staggered?
They were supposed to be. Because, yes, that's something we're going to try to Bill's looking into. There's some things we're supposed to...
You said, why aren't the terms standard?
Staggered.
They're six.
Staggered.
Three people, well, three appointed.
Mayor, I would just tell that gentleman or lady that has an interest that they're in the pool. You know, hey, we've got you in the pool.
No, Denny, what I did was, knowing that I was going to appoint and ask for a confirmation from you guys, I was very honest with that person where I was going, because that is what I'm asking to do. You know, I received the two.
Tell them they're in the pool's not being dishonest with them. I mean, come on.
Oh, no. The person's very, it's all good, just like anybody. And I told them that I would bring it to the body, what I'm bringing to you today, that maybe we need to review it. And that if there was an opening, they would be considered. And that's what you're saying, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Oh, yeah. But I was just saying because they brought up to me about these two positions. And I said exactly where I was at with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to mislead them or whatever, knowing that today I'm going to come to you and ask you to appoint them at the next council meeting. So I told them, this is where I'm at. I feel same thing I'm telling you guys right here and telling everybody, you know. So it's up to you. We could put that, you know, that's something. We don't have anybody that's coming up in the next month, so next month we could review that and talk about it. We can gather information and see what the other communities and the reasoning for it. You know, maybe the reasoning before was different than what, you know, it is today. So, mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a bad idea to look at it. I definitely would agree mm-hmm. with that.
Exactly. When do the terms end for St. John's?
Their terms are both, they're both up.
Oh, they're finished already?
Yes, Joe D'Amico's ended 3/21, and it's on our website.
Janice was close.
Yeah, Janice
maybe a month
was close,
prior.
Too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Have you given any thought to which of those two you want to have a four-year term, and who you'd like to have a six-year term?
No.
Yeah, because that'll be one thing we'll have to decide. We'll want to stagger them out.
Yeah. So we would need to know that before
the legislation.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I know, Bill, we talked when we had this whole conversation about it, because I talked to Bill about it, and you said they should be staggered. They haven't been staggered, but they should be.
Yeah, so we should just put it back in order.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that here, because I need your help with that. By you saying that, I would think, what do you think? Which one would be staggered? How would we go? What would be the fairest way to do that?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes,
I would think the person with tenure that Mrs. St. John should be the 6 year, since she's been the one that wants to continue on the committee, and she's the one that has the most knowledge, or you know,
I mean, I could talk to him first.
Experience.
If one of them volunteers, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and experience. I mean,
right.
It's, you know, and I think she heads the committee, doesn't she?
No, I'm the chairman of the planning.
Oh, you're in.
Yeah. Okay. And Mary sits on the planning.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, you know, see, I would say the opposite, because the person at only 4 years is only going to get 4 years each time, and the person at 6 years is going to continue to get 6 years at each time. So they're always going to have...
Well...
No, they're always going to get 6 years. Right. We're just cutting 2 years off.
You're just cutting 2 years off this time.
Everybody will have a six-year term after we correct the order.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's if we continue with the 6 years, if we don't change it to a four-year term.
I'm trying to get along with you, a lot of things were getting straightened out.
Well, speaking to the terms, the mayor asked that I do some research over the last couple of days, so I have that opportunity. I just haven't had a chance to get it to you yet.
Right.
But the revised code requires a six-year term, so we can't deviate from the revised code. So our terms will be 6 years. I think you, and I'm thinking it through as you're talking about, term limits, if that's something you desire, that's probably not in conflict with state law, so you probably can do that. but I want to be certain before.
Yeah, see, those are the things. I had Bill after, and it wasn't just from the conversation with this person. When I assumed this position, there was things that have come forward that we have talked about, and so I wanted Bill to look at all the committees, not just planning, zoning, too, and to see what, since we're statutory, you know, we have to follow our revised code. So that's what Bill's referring to and what he's looking at. So, well, I would ask them first.
Yeah.
Because that somebody might say, hey, I'm okay. It just means their term ends up, and then they would, it would be another option whether we would renew them again for 6 years. But they would come up, one of them is going to come up 2 years earlier is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So how does everybody feel? What you know, I'm just thinking out loud, and nobody has to add, because I can, you know, the appointment falls under me with your confirmation, so we are all in it together. But with this, and you do have to vote on it. That's right, you do have a resolution. Mm-hmm. So we should be in agreement on who would get the 6 and who would get the 4. I have a feeling I'm going to be able to do it by talking to them.
Absolutely.
One of them is going to volunteer. So why don't we leave it at that?
Yeah.
And then I can always have discussions with everybody.
Sure.
And
there's always a quarter method.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's the best way.
Yeah.
And then we don't even have
that's right.
We don't even have to form an opinion now.
Yeah.
Then why don't we do that?
Yeah.
I'll talk to them. We'll go from there. If we were to have a special meeting, we have nothing coming before the Planning Commission right now. So it's and I did. Bill already did rule or gave me, if you want to kind of talk about that. If we did have something coming before us, they could act. Correct.
Yeah. Absolutely. You need, for each of those boards, you need 3 votes. So whether 5 show up or 4 show up, you need 3 votes. So they can act.
Right. And Bill feels they can act because they haven't resigned or been removed from the thing. Even if their terms expired, they are still an acting part of the body.
I misunderstood your
question. Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, because their terms have expired and we haven't replaced them, I think it's fair to say that when and they attend these meetings, they can still vote. They haven't been removed or replaced.
And there's so nothing
until we make an appointment. Yeah. There's nothing that says anything to the contrary. So I think that's probably the fair approach to it.
Just to kind of, but nothing's in front of us, so we're good. I'm just saying, if something did come in front of us and we didn't have a decision, so why don't I'll talk to both members. I don't need to talk. You know, Mike's thing's good. I'll talk to both members. I'll get the dates down and see what they say, and then I'll share it with you.
Okay.
And hopefully I'll get an answer before. I'm going to make you copies of their letters. I received both letters, one yesterday and one today. That's why I wanted to kind of have both letters asking to continue on the committee. So I'll make copies of those, and then I will have a discussion with. Can I have them both come in at the same time? I don't have a quorum with.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So if we wanted to do the 3 of us together, we could.
About a boxing match between them.
Nah, they both do. Everybody does a great job.
Yeah.
You know. And with that said, on zoning, Duke is no longer the chairman. Zoning voted to have Paul Rich be the chairman. Duke. Felt it was his time to have someone else take over his reins. And the committee all agreed Paul Rich would be a good chairman for that committee. Duke seen me and asked me, and I thought that was great. He's done it a long time, and he's done a great job. We've been fortunate and very lucky in the village to have somebody who's taken such a serious approach, which everybody does with all these committees, but Duke has taken a very serious approach. But he still wants to remain on the committee. I mean, his term hasn't expired, so he can legally do what he did, was, you know, change position as chairman. So he's now just a committee member. So, but who knows? You know, retirement for everybody is, or the warm weather is calling everybody. So not right now, but maybe
ready.
In the winter. So. Just kind of update you on that. That happened at their last I know Fred was aware of that. That happened at their last meeting. So that's...
Mr. Tenner has a question.
Yes, go ahead, Ray.
You're putting term limits.
No, we're not doing anything yet.
No, you're putting six-year term limits, or are you putting the number of terms a person can have?
No. Ray, we're not... That's one of the discussions, whether or not we're going to change the length of the term. That would be one of the discussions. That's what I was talking about. I don't think two is even long enough. I don't even know if four is. But also, whether or not, if we kept it at 6 years, just what you're saying, should we make it after you have 2 6-year terms, which would be 12 years? Okay. Are you done? Or after three?
I didn't even bring that up.
Maybe I didn't, but that's part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. So the term, that's term limits, and then the length of the term. But you're right on. You're right on, because that does dictate things. Because if you go with 4 years, a total would be 12. So do you want three terms? Or if you go with 2 6-year, do you want two terms?
But Bill said you can't change.
Bill said ORC.
You have to say six.
Oh, it's all 6 years.
It's 6 years.
Right.
Yeah. It's
so
6 years.
So it is just the term limits then.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the only thing we have to talk about. So it is. It is whether the term limits. Okay. Right. You did say that. See, I wasn't listening.
Only for the stagger. He's only going to do it for the staggering. That's the only decision. Right.
That's the only decision to bring that in.
Yeah. Somebody's got to go four, and somebody's got to go six. That's only because of this irregularity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only thing necessary right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody, kind of good is good with that, and that will definitely be on our agenda for next month. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll have that on the COW meeting. What I will do, though, I will talk to Joe D'Amico and Janice St. John, tell them our situation, and see if one of them volunteers for that. And then if not, I'm sure they will. We'll come up with something.
So we're not going to appoint them next week, then?
I would like to, Denny. If one of them says they're okay mm-hmm. with, Bill would just have, one would have 4 years to go, and the other one would have 6 years.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, I think it will. I think we'll get a
good... I agree. I think we should, do it next week.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just asking a question.
I don't think... just knowing the personalities, I think everybody wants to do what's best anymore. And then I got one other thing, just to kind of update a little bit. We've had the last week or so, and even maybe the last month or so, we've been having a few issues with Kimball, our rubbish service, as far as missing houses and doing different things.
Oh.
Rob Kalman has been on top of it, along with Katie. Rob has talked to Don Johnson, not Don Johnson the movie star, but Don Johnson, who is the rep for Kimball that handles our area. And today he did give Rob some more contacts that he feels will be more effective, that when we have a problem, because it seems the contacts we've had, Rob or Katie will file the complaint, and then it kind of falls on deaf ears. They take the complaint thing, then all of a sudden we're following up, and again, we did express our dissatisfaction with them. So if you get any calls, it hasn't fallen on deaf ears. I know I'm in contact, trying to get in contact. We've had some contact with one resident, very legitimate complaint. And after all, talking with Rob and stuff, it's kind of been, coming to this point. So we're hoping with the contacts he gave Rob that that's going to solve some of the issues we've been having. So just, if any residents approach you or ask you, at least you know that it hasn't fallen on deaf ears. It definitely hasn't fallen on deaf ears.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Katie, did you have any residents calling you from the west end of Alexander Road?
I did not take any complaints, but I know Lisa did.
Okay.
So there were several. Were
that where the garbage was out?
Yes.
Recycles were not picked up.
Oh, the recycle, because I have a different...
Oh, that one, yes, I did have several.
The recycles were not picked up. There was approximately, I want to say, 6-8 of us. Now, I don't use the recycle container, but mine was the only one, the bags sitting out. My recycles were there. I wasn't going to bother you over the weekend because I knew Katie was going to respond right away. But then yesterday I worked a 14-hour day, so I forgot about it, but I did think about it earlier today. But there was about 4 to 8 residents, all of their recycle containers were out.
There was
that
someone
they were not
even
picked up.
Closer to Village Hall, also on Alexander. I spoke to someone on Rolland.
Right.
So it has been sporadic, but I've also noticed it's a different truck that's been picking up the recycling. I don't know if it's not a Kimball truck. It's been different in the past few weeks. So
it wasn't consistent because it is down by me. It's pretty consistent that most of my neighbors put out both containers. And to see almost every other house only having, you know, their recycled container still sitting out there late Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. And I called one of my neighbors. I'm like, did they not pick up? He's like, no, that's why I left it sitting out. Eventually, somebody will come get it.
And then we had a problem with the one house on the west end down there, Jennifer, with that had all the trash out. It wasn't picked up. Mm-hmm. 1 week we made. You know, and that's the problem. I mean, we're subject to a contractor, you know, I mean, and but we can also look down the road if we need to, you know. So we're kind of keeping our thing on there. And if you get calls here, you don't have to call. You can call Rob, I mean, because that's his wheelhouse, and he's, you know, he's right there, and he's in constant contact with him and Don Johnson, I always say that. What was that show again?
It
was
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice, that's what it was.
I still remember.
So
what's the problem? They're just not picking up the trash, or is there other problems involved? Yeah,
we've had some residents where they missed their house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was the recyclables. It seemed kind of like every other, like they're kind of just.
But that's
like
the issue, just missing.
Missing.
Missing some houses, inconsistency.
And then telling Rob they're going to take care of it, okay? And they're going to take care of it within a certain amount of time, and then.
They don't. It was this afternoon.
They don't.
A truck
you know,
came down this afternoon.
That's not what we're paying for.
Right, exactly. So that's why Don Johnson is the main person to deal with, and. So I think it's really got down to the nuts and bolts today on that. The village isn't satisfied, and Rob said he shared these contacts with them and made his staff aware, so we're hoping that takes care of it.
And the one resident that I called to say, how come you still have these out? You know, everything okay? Is there a health issue? And they said they were not happy. I have to pay for my trash now and I can't even get it picked up.
Right.
And it's not the first time, it's not the second time, it's not the third time.
And what happens is, it's kind of a domino effect. So you got the people that didn't get theirs picked up. So what do? You leave it out because we're telling them they're going to pick it up. So then the neighbor calls and says, my neighbor still has their trash out.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate.
Right, because your cans are supposed to be removed.
Because they don't know that there's stuff in there and they didn't have it getting picked up. So it's kind of like, all the neighbors, they're all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes like a domino effect, you know. It's, but we're trying to get that.
It's a small hiccup. We've had, I think, overall very good service.
Yeah, we haven't had bad. It seems
I'm
like
sure
something's changed
there.
There
was a change.
Whether it was, and you know, of course, they don't share that with you, whether it's a driver or a supervisor.
Sure.
Or did they change the routes? Something happened there
mm-hmm.
because it's kind of in those same areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm just sharing what Rob has shared and Katie has shared with me because they both feel the complaints. But Rob goes out there and he kind of, you know, it picks up. It's kind of like that. So, but I think they understand because, hey, it is contracted out.
Yeah.
We don't have to, we can always review it. You know, we haven't signed it forever, so if we're not happy, we can always go to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Or have penalties. If you a certain amount of time you didn't come and get it, like you said, you know, hit them in the pocketbook.
That's, yeah,
there's
and that's something if we
carriers.
Were to go with a different contract or something, you know. But we're hoping he resolves it. Rob has Don Johnson, every time I say that, has finally got, they've had a very good conversation. transportation. So we'll give them a chance. We'll see what happens.
Well, plus we had that issue with my wife calling them having an attitude. Well, you don't pay. You don't pay for your garbage anyways. So time out.
Yes, we do. First of all,
we do. And secondly, even if we didn't, we still do with our taxes.
Right. Somebody's paying.
Nothing's free.
You're under contract. Yeah. So that that needs to be addressed, too, that attitude.
Yeah. You know. Speaks at the vaccine, too.
Yeah.
Same woman.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to make you aware. So that's really the only thing I had. I know it's getting late. That's
then I'd like to make Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I gotta go to North Royalton.
Second.
I gotta take Mike to pick up his truck.
Oh no.
He had a catalytic converter stolen out of his truck in Maple Heights. And he needs the truck, and he's got a repairman out there, and he's like, "Are you done yet?"
They stole it from right underneath the truck.
By himself,
No, he's got his van, but he's got a truck, and we're moving out of his house, and the moving truck is the one that had the catalytic converter
ripped out under it, and they took it.
Oh yeah, in his parking lot, Maple Heights, at his store. Yeah.
They stole it.
What are they worth now? Maybe somebody knows. They used to be worth like $90 or something because they got platinum in them.
You did.
That's why they steal.
So he drove it there, and he said he almost got a ticket.
Yeah, $3,000 for
catalytic converters. That's they're expensive. Yeah. You buy a new one, they're like what, $600, $700.
Well, I can't wait to hear what this bill's going to be.
Yes.
May make a motion to adjourn.
I made it, Gloria, twice.
Okay.
Second, Mary. I made it. I said it twice. That's
Councilperson Linda.
All in favor?
Are you going to
review
our agenda for next week?
Well, we can't. Hold on a minute, real quick, before we take a vote. Let's review the agenda. Denny made a good point there. We're going to have a resolution for the salt. Resolution to accept the bid.
Yes.
Bids. And that would be it.
Joe and Janice.
Janice and Joe, if I get everything worked out.
And the motion to keep them out.
That's it. We did it.
Okay, so we had a motion on the floor by Mary Brenner to adjourn the meeting, seconded by Gloria. Can we take a vote on it?
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlowski?
Yes.
Nielsen?
Yes.
Spitznagel?
No, I want to stay here. Yes.
Six yeses. Meeting adjourned at 9:57.